If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hello, I'm taking a dump.
Now, which sex is your oldest?
We have a boy, Joshua, that's 16.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
Is it possible that Kevin can know any f***ing less than he does or screw up any of the jokes more than he does? Do me a favor, Kev. Eat a bag of shit.
This is the world-famous K-Rock.
I finally bottomed out. Ladies and gentlemen, I finally lost it completely.
What a sucker Kevin is.
And what about, what was I going to ask you? I forget what I was going to ask you.
You dockside-ed, Kevin.
Is that, so he doesn't, are you common. A regular duck fan? You watch all the time him?
Kevin is a great guy. He is not much of an entertainer.
And now.
Hey, look, everybody. Kevin's back. Kevin. We love you, Kevin.
Our feature presentation.
Why the tribute?
We are.
Did I die?
We're preparing your obit reel. You know, they do that at the TV stations. When a celebrity is really old, they go ahead on an off day and put the package together so that when that celebrity goes, boom, you've got it right on the air.
Am I about to go?
Well, we don't know. We don't think so. We don't think so yet. We just want to be prepared because we can see the end in sight.
Okay.
You're not really old, and yet you're going quickly.
Going quickly.
Well, let's face it. Look at the pace at which Kevin is living. I mean, especially ahead of going to Lollapalooza this weekend, we feel like this is a good time to have the package ready by the weekend.
Yeah. King of Mexico and I are leaving tomorrow for Chicago, and then there's a Friday show, a Saturday show, and a Sunday show.
Yeah.
And then we may or may not be on the air Monday from there.
Yeah, I'm betting not.
The plan is, yes, we'll be there and we'll feel good and we'll have gotten a lot of rest. That's
sure
the plan.
You will. Well, notes. Dave will have gotten a lot of rest. Somehow Dave manages to sneak in naps wherever he is and whatever he's doing. He will be fine.
Well, but he naps during our show, though. You just can't tell.
Right. And he'll nap during the Lollapalooza show, too.
Yeah, he'll be sitting there in the front during Rage Against the Machine and he'll just be going, I need to do it, but I'm too tired.
I don't think I'll ever forget going to see Kiss with Dave. Kiss and Ted Nugent was the show about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. And we had really good seats. We were like in the fourth row or something like that. And you know how loud Kiss is and how much there's going on with the fire and the blood. I mean, they were really bringing it, right? I look over. He is just sawed logs, man. Just couldn't have been more asleep during the show.
I used to think that he slept all the time. Now I realize what he does is he stays up 24 hours and catches rest during our show.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while, like when he goes to a show like that, he literally can't keep his head up.
Cat naps. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, a cat doesn't lay down and sleep for 5 hours solid. They just, 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there. And that's exactly what Dave does. And of course, he dozes off, 10 seconds of every minute driving.
Yeah.
Let's remember that.
He gets a lot of rest while driving.
And that all adds up in a 20 minute trip. He's got two minutes of that is sleeping. So he's doing all right.
He came in and announced this past Monday that he has already checked out because he's going to Lollapalooza this weekend.
A whole week early, checked out.
Just the whole week, yeah.
Really?
Don't count on me for anything. I am done.
Wow.
That's delightful. Psycho Mike, you went out with Mr. and Mrs. Dave last night. How was that?
It was awesome.
I'm sorry, did you say time. Mr. and Mrs. Dave?
Yep.
Well, Dave and Yasmin.
Right, but not technically.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. No, they didn't run off and get married. All right. I know, you got to ask these questions.
Yeah. To be more accurate, we went out with Dave and Mrs. Dave, my wife.
Yeah, that's true. that is true.
Yeah, my wife and I and my nephews and nieces and Dave and Yasmin went to see Paramore at the OC County Fair last night. It was awesome.
And did Dave wear his fingerless gloves?
No. And I got to fess up. I think I was way more gay than Dave was.
No kidding.
I didn't,
well, you really, what a surprise.
But I didn't look over and see Dave singing along and dancing. And I was bebopping and singing along pretty much the whole night.
Yeah.
Were you able to get a bead on the cryptic, strange relationship between Dave and Yasmin, the former Miss Double December? Because it's hard to pin those kids down. They're on again. They're off again. They're just having sex. They're just friends. They're not talking. I mean, every 15 minutes, it seems like it's something new.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's exactly right. It's like the Bush foreign policy that every time you think you kind of got it understood, it just throws you a total curveball.
Well, he can't dedicate himself to one woman because he's stealing Mike's wife. who
and
loves
my wife,
who,
and,
by the way, likes Dave much more than she likes Mike.
Yes.
Bean's wife loves him much more than she likes
absolutely.
Bean.
Absolutely. All Dave has to do is say the word, and I'm out, and he's in.
Yeah.
It sounds like I'm joking, but she would be so happy. That would be such an upgrade for her.
I agree. I really sincerely believe my wife is more sexually attracted to me than Dave.
No.
But I think she likes Dave a lot better as a person.
Yeah, of course. He is a much better person.
Yeah.
And if so, okay.
Think of the things you say, then think of the things Dave says.
And I used to think that I was the only marriage that he had not infiltrated.
Yeah.
But I was talking to my wife yesterday about Dave. She loves him more than me.
She loves him too?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, you guys. Yeah. You're all being replaced.
He's moved in on every one of us.
Isn't it amazing? You know, we always joke about a guy like George Clooney who could walk down the street and just point. You know, I'm starting to think that we've got one right under our own nose and we didn't even realize it.
Dave puts in work quietly.
He sure does.
He
does.
Better, I'm better than Clooney.
Women love me more.
It is weird to think that we're going to be overthrown. I don't know how he's going to handle all of them, but I guess he's Dave. I guess he's got skills.
He's going to move to Utah and just buy a compound.
That's right.
Everybody move in with him.
That guy. What would he need him for?
Well, that's right.
Let me tell you, though.
That's a good point. All right. Good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the 31st of... Do you like it in the ass?
Who cares? A hole is a hole.
Oh.
Wow.
That is nice.
Good morning.
That's a nice touch.
Hey, that's your Sex in the City, Lisa.
Is that where that came from?
I believe so, yeah.
On today's Kevin and Bean Show, we are going to talk to Ricky Carmichael, who, of course, is a motocross rider, talking about the X Games, which begin today.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
Guy. What would he need him for?
No, stop it.
Wow.
He's a fantastic rider. So we're going to talk to him about the X Games today. We are going to talk about things you found out about your spouse after the wedding.
Mm.
We've had a couple of calls in the last couple of days. One where a girl said that she had smoked weed for 5 years. And they had just gotten married a year ago, and somehow she kept it from him because she thought it would upset him.
Isn't that weird?
I don't know how you hide that for 5 years if you're living with someone.
Wouldn't you smell it?
Yeah, you would think.
At some point, yeah.
That guy's a dope.
Yeah, that's seriously.
She said she was only an occasional smoker, and she managed to do it at times when he wasn't around, I guess. But it's an odd kind of, I mean, and she didn't say that this guy was a rabid anti-drug guy. She didn't give us any specific reason as to why. It's kind of a weird thing to hold back on.
She just guessed that it was going to be a turnoff. Then she found out, surprise of all surprises, it turned him on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that we got that call. We also got a call from a guy saying that his wife was OCD, and he did not realize it until the middle of the night two nights ago when she was up changing light switches.
Oh.
And they've been married a year.
You weren't here for that
call.
They've been married a year, and you know how there are two light switches for one light sometimes?
Uh-huh.
So if you turn it on, the light goes on. If you turn it
on the other side.
On the other side.
Right.
You might need to turn the other side on for the light to go off.
Right.
Well, she was up in the middle of the night changing those because she can't turn, you know, one of them off or on or whatever. And he's like, what are you doing? He tried to hold her down.
It wigged her out that sometimes you turn the switch up to down to make the light go on. And that just drove her crazy.
She can't turn it down.
So she had to get up in the middle of the night
to change
fix it.
Because it was driving her crazy.
Oh, my God.
And he said, I tried to hold her down. He was Dave. I don't know why, but I tried to hold her down. She was freaking out.
Wow.
Tito Ortiz on the program today.
Oh, he's great.
That guy. What would he need him for?
Yeah, you come here and say that to him. Tito's coming in studio talking about the MMA Expo.
He's retired or not retired? What's Tito's deal?
He is retired from the UFC, but still planning on fighting again.
Yes.
Oh, for someone else. Okay, that's what he told us last time we had him on. Yeah. I remember now.
Brendan Fraser. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, talking about The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperors.
Excellent.
That dude's a big movie star, by the way.
He really is.
He's an enormous movie.
Yeah,
he does.
And also, we have we need to tell you about a 73-year-old Japanese porn star.
Hey!
Whose wife, by the way, doesn't know.
It's a guy?
Yes.
Oh.
I hope so.
Well, 73-year-old dude. You don't know what's working on a man.
Yep.
I hope so.
Apparently, that's working on him.
Yeah.
Wow.
By the way, Kevin, just after 6, we also have highlights of the Criss Angel special from last night. Did you see any of it?
No, God, no.
You're not going to believe it.
But my wife watches it, and I saw some of the first. I guess he's back for a new season.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw some of the first one, and he's just, you know, he was a douchebag before.
Yeah.
He's really cranked it up now.
How can you be more douchey than he already was?
I wouldn't have thought it was possible, but he's done it.
Wow. That is bad.
Yeah!
There's some of that. It's hard to put your finger on all the ways you hate him. It really is. Everything about him is offensive. Everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now he's got a beard and he's got more jewelry than ever before. Rings and everything else.
Sometimes he does. Last night he did not have the beard. But we'll play some highlights just after six. He did a deal last night where he was handcuffed inside a building that was on a timer to implode. And he had to get out.
Did he die?
That was the thing. I don't want to give it away.
Well, if he would have died, you would have told us.
I think it would have been on the news, to be honest.
Chris Angel is a big douchebag. The douchiest of all.
He is somehow cranking up.
What do you need him for?
That's correct.
Now you're right.
Now he's right on.
Well, anyway, that's coming up, too, if you missed it. You're not going to believe the thrilling conclusion of the special last night.
We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph Show.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We're supposed to be here by now. Where's the torch?
I know.
It never came.
I don't know what I was just going to say.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Flag that one for the obit package that we're preparing.
How dare you.
Classic.
Wow. That is a great one. I hadn't heard that one in a while.
It wasn't like someone else cut it in and said something. It was.
You guys edit. Come on. That's ridiculous. Like, I would ever do that.
There's a train coming down the tracks. The train is on the tracks.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the engineer just takes the train and just flips it for no reason. Just takes it right up the tracks.
You're a bad engineer.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I am. You're right.
5:49, Thursday morning. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's everybody talking about, Ralph?
Everybody's talking about pop music. Talk about.
Nicely done.
Thank you. Thank you so much. A lot of music news today. Let's talk about it, shall we? After wondering who would be releasing the new Oasis album in this country, we finally have an answer. The album was going to be distributed by the band's Big Brother label, which is controlled by Noel and Liam, but they didn't have distribution here in the States. But Warner Brothers Records has stepped up, and they will be releasing the new Oasis album in this country. It's called Dig Out Your Soul. It'll be stores on October the 7th, but you'll start hearing the new single in a few weeks. I'm assuming you'll probably hear it on K-Rock.
I imagine.
Because we tend to play some Oasis music from time to time. If it's any good, I guess we'll play it.
Is this new label coming along too late for people to care? I guess it depends on what the record sounds like.
Yeah, I suppose. Look, you can say what you want about these guys. You know, they have some douchey behavior.
Very much so.
But they really know how to craft a good pop song, too, you know?
Yeah.
They can pump out the music. So I'll be interested to hear what they've got.
You want to hear a clip from their new song?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I hate the 90s. Oh, what happened to tube tops? No girl I know can pass the pencil test.
It's kind of weird. Different direction.
That's a hit.
Yeah.
That's a hit. That's a hit.
It's hot.
Buy it. Metallica is going to do two special club shows for members of its fan club. That would be pretty cool to see them in a small location.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's Mike. Fans. He knows.
Remember when we did the breakfast?
Remember we did the breakfast and you...
Oh,
in the locker room?
And you... There was space for about 20 people.
That was
you,
the Honda Center. Oh, yeah, it was awesome.
And you sit, and then... Oh, wait a minute. You weren't there.
Well, that's right. You weren't there. You were doing something girly.
What were you doing? I can't remember.
My engagement party.
Engagement party.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's better.
Right.
You were getting a new dress fitted, weren't you?
Yes.
You know what that was that day? Metallica's doing two special club shows for their fans, one in Berlin on September the 12th and one in London. That's in England on the 15th.
Fans,
convenient locations
so
for our
like
listeners.
To go.
Fans here?
Book your tickets now. Fans here? Not so much.
All right.
Now, of course, Death Magnetic, their new CD, will be released in the late fall. But if you're in the fan club, you can go to one of those shows, I guess. If you can get your ass to Berlin. Wait a minute. Berlin's going to be playing too?
Crazy Bill.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And here's a funny story. I always mention how the Beatles are still somehow in the news.
Yeah.
Regardless of the fact that they've been disbanded for 40 years now.
Yeah. Pretty tired of that.
The Beatles' final movie, Let It Be,
yes,
is the only
one that has not been released on DVD
up to this point. Word was it was finally officially going to be released on DVD. But now word comes that Paul and Ringo, the two surviving Beatles, don't want to release the film because they don't want their fans to see them bicker. Apparently Let It Be shows the band dissolving and arguing with each other while they're filming their final, recording their final album.
Right.
And Paul and Ringo think that might tarnish the image of the Beatles if people see that. What are they afraid? We might think they're going to break up?
Yeah, we already fighting?
Pretty much know the story.
Did we know how it ends? We saw this movie.
That's weird.
It's crazy.
Oh, so they don't want to ever release?
What if What if people get confused? They think John Lennon's still alive, Ralph. What if that they watch the movie and now they don't know what's going on?
Let's not release any of the Beatles movies. Or give people false hope. They might get back together.
That's just crazy.
Stupid.
You've seen it, right, Ralph?
Yes, I have.
Tense.
Yeah, it's
the most brutal.
Kevin, you would actually love it. As much as you hate the Beatles, you would actually love it because they cannot stand to be in the same room together. They're making an album.
It's the most uncomfortable dinner party you've ever been to. It's just awkward.
George Harrison says, why don't you just tell me what to play? You just tell me what to play and I'll play
just
it, okay?
I'll sit here. You tell me what to play.
You show me how to play the guitar. Go ahead.
Whoa. We got to go, guys. Thanks for letting us drop by. But my wife's got a
I'll see you later.
So, right. No, keep the wine. That's fine. It's a gift. We got the wine. Shia LaBeouf, by all accounts, was having a very fun time at the Troubadour.
Yeah.
Saturday night before getting behind the wheel of his truck. At least we now know what he was doing in the events leading up to the accident. Apparently, he was going to see a band called Lemon Sun. Are you familiar with Lemon Sun?
I'm not.
No.
Went to see them at the Troub, and according to witnesses, was pounding, not some brews, but shots, while watching the band and then hopping behind the wheel of his truck.
This is a mess.
It's never a good idea. He remains at Cedars-Sinai Hospital, by the way, while they still tend to that injured hand.
You do shots. You don't pound shots.
No, you don't.
This
well,
is lending.
You do, but the average person doesn't.
More credence to your theory, Ralph, that they're giving him a bionic arm. I mean, I'm starting to think with the longer he's in the hospital that you're right.
That'd be awesome.
Maybe he's going to come out like Hellboy. Just giant hand.
Concrete hand.
Yeah, that'd be the best.
All this trouble is leading people to speculate on whether there will be a delay in shooting the Transformers sequel, but producers told Daily Variety magazine yesterday that they are shooting around Shia's stuff. Apparently, they have a lot of room in the schedule, so they've moved the scenes that star Josh Duhamel, his co-star, up in the production. They'll be shooting those this week and for the next couple of weeks, and then Shia will be expected to be back on the set within a month or so.
A month.
So that there won't be any delay in shooting Transformers 2. Which
screw
is
him.
Yeah. Is Megan Fox in this one?
She is not.
Come on, I'm out.
Really? Wow.
I'm in.
But have you seen her replacement, that smoking hot chick who was in the truck with Shia when he rolled it, Adrienne Grenet's new girlfriend?
Yeah, I saw a picture.
Yeah, she's way hot, so that's okay.
Good work.
She's no Megan Fox, but then who is?
No, but who is?
Speaking of sequels, there will be a Spider-Man 4. Sony Pictures has announced that there will be a fourth edition of the Spider-Man franchise.
That'd be sweet!
In theaters in 2011.
Yes. Not even 2010?
So start marking off your calendar now, kids, as we count down to Spider-Man 4.
Is emo Spidey a cutter now or anything like that? Or
no word on who will be playing Spider-Man. It is not a foregone conclusion that Tobey Maguire will return to the franchise.
Oh.
We make fun of that movie.
His contract is up.
It made a ton of money.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And hopefully Kirsten Dunst will be
replaced.
Not showing up
by anyone
four
else
as well. To give you a Spidey fans a little something to tide you over before 2011, apparently Sony has announced they're doing a spin-off film of the character Venom that appeared in Spider-Man 3. He will get his own feature film, and that'll be coming out sooner. No word yet on who will play Venom, but let's hope it's not Topher Grace. I like Topher. Good guy, funny guy,
nice
good
man.
Actor.
Mm-hmm.
Least menacing villain ever in the history
really?
Of comic book movies.
Didn't pull it off?
Not so much. He had like big sharp teeth in some moment. Just looked like a goof. Just looked dumb. Let's find someone else to play the space goo Venom. Space goo. Well, that's what he is basically. If you saw the movie,
space
this
goo
black goo kind of crawls all over Spider-Man.
Yeah,
makes him bad. Makes him emo. You don't want that.
No.
Maybe, Joel or Benji can play Venom, the emo hero. And it's a big day in court for Britney Spears.
Now what?
Today's the day,
court every
Kevin.
Day.
Today's the day that a judge will decide if she still needs her dad, Jamie, to run her life for her.
Mm-hmm.
Britney and dad Jamie will be in court to see if he still retains his conservatorship powers over her. It's unlikely, though, say experts, because she will have to prove that she's regained all of her mental capacity in just 60 days, which 60 days ago was the date her own attorney said she was unfit to take part in the legal proceedings involving this question.
Wow. She's starting to build a case, though, for less than crazy behavior.
Yeah, she's coming back, but whether she is in complete control of her faculties or not will be difficult to prove after just 60 days.
Today's hearing will also focus on whether the current restraining order against Sam Lufty will be renewed as well. Dad wants to keep Sam as far away from Britney as possible.
That's a good idea.
Can't imagine why.
I think so, too. And more problems for Ed McMahon.
Oh, no.
That's just sad. Now a lawyer is suing Ed for non-payment of legal bills.
Yes!
Nice!
Well, add another voice to Kevin's pantheon.
Thank you.
Norman Solovey says that Ed owes him $275,000 in legal bills.
Wow.
From when he represented Ed's daughter, Linda, in a matrimonial matter. So you add that to the $644,000 Ed owes in back payments on his Beverly Hills home. And that's almost $1 million in debt for Ed. Let's leave Ed alone, people. Come
Ed
on
Ed is going to be joining you in Studio City soon, it sounds like, Ralph.
I got room. You can stay in the guest room. And new television news. I only say this because I used to have a mad crush on this girl. Style, the cable channel, has hired Danielle Fishel to be the host of a new showbiz gossip series called The Dish.
How do we know her?
Danielle Fishel was on a series called Boy Meets World. She played a character called Topanga.
That's right.
I know who you're talking about.
And she had cans.
For days?
Weeks.
Giant-sized cans.
She had cans for a month.
Yeah.
It's being done by the same people who produced the soup for E, so there's hope for it to be entertaining. But so she's got a new gig, which I think is nice. And so does Freddie Prinze Jr.
I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah. He's been getting ready for his big comeback. He's just been added to the creative team of the WWE.
Oh, God.
What?
Freddie Prinze will help produce WWE television.
He's a fag.
Apparently, he's a big fan of the sport.
Yeah, it's a sport.
And is looking forward to help write new storylines and characters for the WWE.
Great.
That's a good career move, right?
It is if you can't get a job.
You go from movies to WWE.
Writing scripts for WWE.
He's still married to Buffy, right? They're still married.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's making all the cash. He can do whatever he wants, I suppose. Today's celebrity birthdays. Wesley Snipes is 46 years old today. And not the guy to go to for tax advice.
That's correct.
Ed McMahon, if you're listening, I know you're going to be tempted to call up Wesley, but don't ask his advice.
Fatboy Slim's 45 years old today. Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling is 43. Dean Cain, who at one time was Superman. Now he just hits home runs up a Kevin. That's all he does. Every year we talk about Dean Cain's birthday, I can't help but think that he just jacked a ball off of Kevin. Just literally hit it out of the park.
It was the first ball I threw over the plate, too.
Yeah.
You'll stop talking about it when that ball finally comes down.
It's still in the air. Lands, we'll stop talking about it. Dean Cain's 42. And BJ Novak, our pal from The Office, writer, producer, and star of that show, is 29 years old today. Not too bad to be 29 and be the producer of The Office and of the stars. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Give me my favorite theme song for any celebrity we talk about here on the show.
Chris Angel is a big douchebag. The douchiest of all.
I don't watch this magician, Chris Angel. I know you got some people in your house, Kevin, that like it, so you've seen it more than I have. But last, producer Alex sent out an email yesterday saying, hey, don't forget, the A&E has a Chris Angel special on tonight. So I thought, well, I'll check it out. By the time I got the email, the show only had 10 minutes left, which is perfect because all Chris Angel specials are... The first 45 minutes or so is just BS, and then whatever he's there to promote or to do, he does in the last 10 minutes. So last night what he was doing is he was handcuffed to a building. He was handcuffed to the railing on an office building or something like that, and they had it on a timer where it was going to implode in 4 minutes.
Okay.
So he had handcuff picks with him, and he had to get out of those handcuffs. Then he had to go through a series of doors and upstairs and down halls throughout the building to get on the roof where a helicopter was going to fly him away as the building exploded.
Right.
But again, it's a timer, so it's going to go in 4 minutes. If he doesn't get out, then he blows up. And
you know what you missed, though, Bean? Here's what you missed. I guarantee you this.
All right.
The first 50 minutes of this show were him talking about how he could die. His brother talking about how he could die. His staff talking about how he could die. His mom talking about how he could die. That's what they do. They hype it for 50 minutes. This is so dangerous. I wish he wouldn't do this. I'm his mom, and that sure worries me when he risks his life. Like, shut the F up.
And he probably brings in his dead dad at some point.
Of course.
He did say that this was going to be the last ever death-defying stunt that he was going to do on television.
Sure, right.
He did say that last night until the next one.
Yeah.
So Tim Vincent is the Australian or British guy. He's on Access Hollywood. He was the host of this program, and we join him as he's counting down with 40 seconds left on the clock with play-by-play in the dramatic final seconds of Chris trying to get out of the implosion of the building.
I know this is television, but this is a live event. I am actually... This is very frightening now. 40 seconds left, Chris. 40 seconds.
So on the screen, we see Chris there, and he's basically feverishly working on trying to get out of the handcuffs so he can start running through the maze to get to the top of the building. There's 15,000 people or something standing there in front of this building waiting for it to blow up.
There seems to be a problem with the second lock. Okay, he should already be... Okay, 30 seconds. The helicopter should now... 24 seconds. Chris should have already been leaving the building at 30 seconds.
Now, at this point, the helicopter has to fly away. At 30 seconds, it has to get out of the way of the impact of the explosion. So now he's trying to get through the last door to get to the roof. The helicopter's already gone. You hear how much time is on the clock.
15 seconds. There seems to be a huge problem now.
Oh, no.
8 seconds, Chris. The helicopter's still... The helicopter's had to leave. It was not rehearsed.
Okay, there's the explosion. The building implodes. Okay, now that's the static of the camera feed, basically just going to static, just going to snow, right? So now you can't see anything. Where's Chris? They are blowing that building the hell up, though, I'll tell you that. I love that the crowd is cheering wildly. I don't know if that's why. That's why I would be cheering.
He's dead! Yeah!
Now listen to Tim Vincent, and you tell me if it sounds to you like this is all acting. You tell me if this is a sincere reaction of a guy hosting a live show where the star of the program has just been killed, or if he's reading off a script.
What's happened? Is Chris... Okay, I'm being told in my ear that they're looking for Chris. Obviously, on our cameras, he was still stuck inside. I had a problem with the first and final door.
I've been told in my ear that they're looking for Chris. Is that, would anyone say, well, I mean, you've all just seen the building blow up. Would anyone say, don't worry, Tim, we're looking for Chris?
No.
On.
If he really thought he died, it would be so different.
This can't be his reaction, right?
No, of course not.
I bet I
In rehearsals, he very safely made it to the helicopter, but okay, Chris's family are now running over. I don't know quite where they're running to.
What a surprise.
But there's obviously the dust is starting to settle now. Nothing could have got out of there safely. Nothing.
Okay, now we're looking at cameras that are going around the scene looking for where Chris is. Unbelievable coincidence that they put a camera on this hill where in moments Chris Angel is going to come running up it.
The family are just standing there looking for... I'm not sure what they're looking for.
Well, look at the press.
The camera crew that's running at the far end of the building. We're told it's safe to go somewhere.
Chris! Guess who that is? He comes running up over the hill with his trademark scream.
Chris Angel is out and alive! Ladies and gentlemen! Unbelievable.
Indeed. Well,
shut up.
All he did was run over the hill, and he had the dust all over his face from the implosion, we're to believe. And he never did an interview, never talked to anybody. He just basically just ran off into the distance. It was just the so dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's what you get for watching it, dude.
Since we didn't get to hear from Chris Angel last night on the show, I'm happy to report we do have him on the phone with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. We can find out what kind of scam was going on with the American public last night. Good morning, Chris. What is that about?
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you? It's a pleasure to talk to you. I want to let you guys know that
You've been a big influence on my career. I remember listening to you with my father before my father passed.
We don't have time for all the father stuff today,
when you
Chris,
guys
we just
were syndicated, we used to listen to you in New York, where I grew up.
We were not syndicated.
We weren't syndicated.
But then you were syndicated.
No, I was never.
Yeah, but then you were syndicated.
We actually never were, just on camera.
But then you were syndicated.
So, Chris, the last time we saw you in the building, you couldn't get that door open to get to the roof.
That's
then
right.
The building blows up, and then Tim Vincent has to give the acting performance of his life for 30 seconds.
He was generally concerned for my well-being.
Is that right?
It was difficult. In rehearsals, everything went well, but the time we did this, I did have some difficulty with the lock.
Mm-hmm. And then you just come running over a hill with your hands over your head going, ah! That was it. That was the end of the show.
Yes.
What is that?
It's magic.
It's not magic. It's douchebaggery.
How is
magic.
Yelling, wah! How is that magic? Come on.
Come on, Chris.
Stop it.
I'm magically delicious.
Yeah.
Nothing could have gotten out of that alive.
Right. Exactly.
And I need everyone to know that the feed they saw of me struggling inside the building in no way could have been previously videotaped.
Yeah, no, certainly not.
It was. If you see something on television, of course it has to be live.
Yeah, there's no way to do that.
There's no way to fake that.
Right.
There's no way to fake this.
If people fell for that, if people think somehow you were in that building when it blew up, your audience are bigger suckers than you are, Chris.
Don't be a sucker, first of all. Don't be a sucker.
It's good advice, yeah.
But my audience knows that I'm capable of amazing feats and hands. And
Chris, when the building imploded, did you hear how loudly and how many people were cheering?
They weren't cheering. They were gasping with horror.
No, they were pretty much standing O.
No, I think maybe it was nervous cheering.
No.
They were just nervous for me.
Genuinely happy that you were gone.
I think maybe they knew in their hearts of hearts that I was going to be okay.
No. Well, that may be because, you know, it was just obviously a stunt.
Because I'm magic? Is that why you're saying that?
Yeah.
Because I'm a prestidigitator?
Yes.
All right, watch your language, first of all. Chris, before we go, you said on the program last night that this was going to be your last ever death-defying stunt
television. I've tempted fate too many times. There's no way I can ever put my life in danger again for the sake of my family and for my friends. It's just too difficult for them because I almost literally died in that building.
This is the speech he gives after every single show.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I can't put my poor mother through it anymore.
Right.
It's bad enough that my father passed away.
Sure.
You hadn't mentioned that, yeah.
My father and I used to listen to your show back.
We know, we heard,
you were syndicated.
We were not.
What I'm saying is you faked it last night. Don't even bother next time. Just stop it, okay, Chris?
I did not fake it. You saw I had actual dust on my face. There's only one way you can get dust on your face, and that's to be inside an imploding building.
But he was 100% healthy. There wasn't a scratch on him. He just had dust on his face.
That is proof I was in the building because I was dusty.
What did you do when the explosion happened? You just duck cover and roll?
No, I magically made my body small. And then got big again.
I see.
Chris Angel is out and alive!
All right. Just stop it, Chris. That's our message to you today.
Chris Angel is a big douchebag. The douchiest of all.
We're going to talk to Brendan Fraser next about the mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
Hey!
That opens up tomorrow. He is the star, of course. We've got him on the show in a minute. Also, Ricky Carmichael talking about X Games and MMA star Tito Ortiz all coming up. First, Kevin Bean Afroline on the air, 323-520-AFRO. You call us, leave a message. It's like, what do they call it? Oh, yeah, an answering machine.
Your team song blows. You should just do a whole song about how much Alex loves
We should.
Yeah.
And he's right about the team song. No question.
Okay.
Omar has an unnatural hatred for Rachel Ray. Although I'm starting to come around to his side. I had never seen much of her.
Yeah.
Just too fake perky. Just drives me nuts.
Rachel Ray, come on. Dog food? For what? What? Dog food? Seriously. Rachel Ray, dog food? Seriously.
He's saying she has her own brand of dog food? Is that his point?
That would be my guess.
I don't know. Whether she should eat dog food or that she should be made into dog food? What does he mean?
Maybe all of the above.
Okay.
I don't know if she has dog food out or not. I wouldn't doubt it. Because people like her tend to have every product imaginable. How do you lose weight? I mean, really, it's such a mystery.
What's up with all these diet pills that you have to take to
lose weight. What happened to old good old fashioned blows? Just and lose weight.
Damn. It's pricey.
It is pricey.
That's what it is. Expensive way to lose weight.
That's true.
I can't please the man I did. Taste of a cherry chapstick.
Shh, we weren't going to talk about that.
Not well sung, but okay. Thank you.
She's hot, though.
Hey, guys. Watching TMZ and Miley Cyrus wearing white pants. Yeah. I'm just saying.
He is just saying, in his defense.
Now, he is just saying.
You know, well, white, she's growing up fast. There's no question about that.
White pants equals girls who like backdoor.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we hear. Not exactly sure how that came about, but it just seems to be true. It's borne out in reality. Psycho Mike always has to make some kind of a strange noise from the back of the room.
Hey, Psycho Mike. Just wanted to let you know, I don't blame you for that sound you make when people mention, you know, Jared Leto or Christian Bale. I figure it's genetic, because the same sound your mom makes. Ha! Ha, ha, ha! Ha! Your mom!
No, he didn't. This is a text-to-landline message where you can have an operator read your message.
I sent you a text-to-landline message. Open wide for Chunky.
Open wide for Chunky.
Okay. You're on my list.
Okay, you're on my list.
They are going to love this downtown.
Oh, they'll love this downtown, folks.
We still can't figure out what that means, but
no. We don't want to ask them.
We don't know where downtown is. We don't have any idea.
Hello, this is Jason Leonard of Riverside. I am a survivor of the Great Chino Hills earthquake. I have food. I have water. I will be meeting at the Pinkberry on Imperial Highway every day at 1 o'clock to meet with survivors.
Wow.
He is legend.
He is legend.
Oh, my God, it's shaking!
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't know that this was possible, but...
Yeah, hi. This is yesterday's earthquake. I just want to say for you guys to shut the f*** up about me. Channel 2, shut the f*** up. Channel 4, shut the f*** up. Channel 9, shut the hell up. Jesus, nothing happened.
Nothing happened. That is true. That is true.
Hey, guys. I just want to say something really quickly. I hate the 90s. What happened to Two Tops? What happened to the Pimple Test? I love that song. I need it on the Deadly Rodeo.
I hate the 90s. What happened to Two Tops? No girl I know can pass the pencil test. Tattoos, body piercings, the whole world has lost its head. Lost its head.
Why are you yelling?
Tattoo removal is the new way. Let's open up tattoo removal parlors across the land. I hate the 90s.
Okay, you're on my list.
Tito Ortiz on the show today. Also, X Games 14, of course, starts today. You can still get tickets for some of it. How does that work, Kevin? You buy tickets for specific events, for specific days, or specific venues, or what?
I think you buy them for the whole day. Yeah, it's like 10 to 20 bucks for the whole day.
That is such a deal.
Yeah,
it's a good deal. There's so much stuff going on. We've got, of course, tickets available through Ticketmaster. We'll be talking next hour to Ricky Carmichael. Every day this week, we have X Games tickets for you to win, and we'll be talking to the stars as well. Right now, though, 6:40 Thursday morning. Let's talk a little bit about a movie coming out tomorrow.
He's a caveman.
Gonzagas.
Gonzagas.
You know, the first day I came to this place, I thought I was dreaming. I get into Harvard. I didn't want anything to mess it up. I didn't want to be told that I couldn't be a part of it because I was a Jew.
You wouldn't have made a difference.
Sure, Reese. I knew that the first night I got here when I heard how McGivern got his hi-fi, he Jewed him down.
Oh, yeah. This just keeps getting better and better.
I'm the goddamn district attorney of Los Angeles. If my car gets jacked, it's gonna make news.
News.
Why do these guys have to be black?
Oh, I hate mummies.
Back to see me now?
Just like old times, huh?
Size change of weight and pressure can cause it to shatter. And we're standing on a lot of it.
We're still falling!
This Brendan Fraser seems like a good dude, and he's got another Mummy movie coming out tomorrow called The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, opening everywhere tomorrow. Mr. Fraser, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous K-Rock.
Awesome intro, Kevin Bean. Thank you for that.
Hey, you know,
down memory lane.
When you look back on it, dude, you've been in a lot of movies.
I just was thinking the same thing. I was like, what have I been doing with my life? Well, there it is. 14 years. I've been busy.
Yep. Speaking of that, you have been busy. You have been making a lot of movies, yet a lot of people thought The Mummy was done. I mean, it has been seven, 8 years. It's been a long time, right?
You've been bugging me everywhere around the world. When's the next Mummy movie? Quand est-ce qu'on va voir notre Mummy film? You know, I'm like, I want to know the same question and answer. Question and answer. Answer that question. Finally, we got the call. And they said, you're going to China. Uh-huh. Well, okay, interesting. How's it work? Well, we got the Terracotta Warriors of Xi'an to be the baddies. They're the mummies. And then we've got Jet Li sign on as the emperor.
Well, let's not move on too quickly from the Terracotta Warriors.
Yeah.
They're made out of clay, and they were hidden in the Great Wall of China by the emperor?
Close to it. That was his army. The emperor does a bad thing. He, in the tradition of the Mummy movies, he gets cursed for eternity, and along with his army, and what he wanted to do in the first place, but rule the world like every good megalomaniac in the movies.
Sure.
And you jump to the 20th century, and Alex and Evie's kid has gone and unearthed them, and then, you know, bad things will ensue unless the O'Connells tool up and go and put him back down.
Goddamn kids. You yell at your kid, you say, stop it. Don't bring
you
the mummy back.
That out. You have no idea what you're doing, young man. Shut dad. I know how to kill mummies, too.
Now, Brendan, did you really get to go to China and film this thing?
Absolutely. We were based out of Beijing and Shanghai. This is the largest film ever made in China, let alone a Western production. So if you think about the cultural boundaries and red tape and everything, that aside, we were able to bridge a gap as filmmakers and creators and collaborators with Hong Kong film artists to do something pretty big and pretty significant, especially in the year of the Olympics right now. I mean, call it dumb luck or serendipity, but we're really proud of this.
How long? Yeah, good timing. How long were you there? How long did you live in China?
2 months or so around, yeah. And then we did soundstage in Montreal, which is, you know, par for the course, but which is also a great place as far as cultural divides go. Oh, you want to make a movie? No problem.
But one of the reasons I'm fascinated with, who isn't fascinated with China? I mean, it's one of those places that's on everybody's radar as a place they'd love to go, but they're a little, you know, scared of it. Did they give you any trouble with some of the, you know, any of the plot points or anything like that, or the way that you were portraying their history? Because I know sometimes they can be extremely difficult to work with.
That's a fair question. And the thing about it is that the government is, cultural government, attaches, et cetera, they're sensitive about, get this, ghost stories. So if a story or a film is framed in the context of it being a fantasy, then that's okay. But they're superstitious about ghosts, of which we have none. So the only changes that they actually demanded were that we were historically accurate with the national treasures. For example, the Great Wall of China, we couldn't use the version that looked like it was 200 years old. It had to be the version that was 1,200 years old.
Oh, I gotcha.
So that was what was most important to them. Other than that, they were like, fine, and they gave us all the support we needed. And so far as the experience of working there goes, yeah, we were certain digestive issues that our cast members had.
Did you get the impression when you were there, and of course it was probably a couple years ago now, but does Beijing look like a city that is ready to welcome the Olympics? Are they ready for what that's about to happen?
Last year, and I'll tell you, it's remarkable. If you've ever been to Shanghai, or if you haven't, go. It looks like the Jetsons, like, and you can see the skyline change almost each morning when you open the windows, because there are sky rises going up and they're swarmed with people. They look like anthills. The construction goes on around the clock. They were certainly working quadruple overtime shifts. I don't know. They'll be ready. I mean, of course they'll be ready. The eyes of the world, let alone the athletes and countries, are all being represented. Oh, yeah, by the way, go Team USA. it's going to be really, really exciting.
All right, last question about China, and then we want to talk some more about the movie. How's the air over there? That's the one thing we keep hearing about, is that some of the athletes don't want to compete because of the pollution.
Well, I did hear that China was not bringing their athletes in until, like, some 10 days before. They had them training somewhere else in the country. I don't know if that's like
that's
or what.
That's nice.
But I hear that in Beijing you can't even see blue sky.
That can be true. But then again, it was always kind of rainy when I was there at that time of the year.
Yeah.
So far as the air quality goes, I think there are improvements that could be made, and I hope that doesn't affect everyone. But if it does, at least everybody's kind of in the same situation.
Right. We're talking to actor Brendan Fraser on the phone, talking about The Mummy. 7 years since the second one. This is the third installment called The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. Maria Bello, by the way, in this movie. I've seen the trailers. How hot is she?
She's got sass, class, and a nice smile.
Nice. Excellent. What about
and she's happy to be in the movie, she says, where she finally does not have to appear naked.
Oh, yeah. Well, come on now.
Is that my job this time out?
Come on now. How are you going to have Maria Bello in and you're nude? Come
well,
on.
Come see the dang movie. Darn it, will you?
Jet Li, how is that working with him?
He's great, man. Come on. It's Jet Li.
I know. I love him.
It's pretty cool.
He's been doing this for, like, what, 28 years or something like that? He's, like, the master of martial arts. He's up there with Jackie Chan, all those guys. So it gives credibility to the fact that he's playing an emperor. You actually believe it. And since he's acting in his mother tongue, you just buy it straight from the get-go.
We love the dude. We've been lucky enough to have him in on the show before. And I think what a lot of people don't know about him that we found out when we spent time with him is that he's really, really a funny guy.
He's a philanthropist. He's a gentleman. He's very humble. He loves to have fun. He gets it. He doesn't take himself seriously. Guess what? The mummy gets defeated at the end.
What?
Oh, come on.
All right. But you know
why
what?
Don't you just tell people to not go?
No, he's a mummy. That means he can come back.
Oh, that's
right?
True. Yeah.
First one came back, didn't he? Yeah. You can't get rid of these guys. They keep popping up again. But anyhow, when he's like all like getting defeated and stuff, and I won't tell you how, it's really quite spectacular. He's going, no, I want to come back for another movie. No.
I have a clip that I think summarizes. I know we're on kind of a time schedule, but I have a clip that I think summarizes the movie. And here it is. There you go.
That's about it. That sounds like what you're going to get. Brendan, I think that's some of the best work you've ever done in that clip right there, young man.
Okay, I'm going to run now.
You do good work.
The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, opens everywhere tomorrow. Brendan, we enjoyed talking to you, man. Let's do it again soon.
Okay, Vin, you guys rock. Thanks, Elliot. Thank you.
In the next hour, we have Ricky Carmichael talking about the X Games and the motocross.
Chris Angel is out and alive! Ladies and gentlemen, unbelievable.
Unbelievable
indeed.
It's alive! Give my creature life!
It's all Chris Angel had to say last night. No interview, just...
Yeah, I don't know where that noise comes from.
He's unbelievable.
6:55.
I just tried to do my best Chris Angel. Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on today?
Why does America have to suck?
I don't know.
And why do we have to continue to let special interest groups embarrass us internationally?
Why are you bad, America?
What happened?
Have you seen the new Snickers commercial with Mr. T?
Uh-uh.
No.
It's on the internet. You can watch it if you like.
Okay.
In fact, we just had Dave, the King of Mexico, put it up on the internet roundup on the K-Rock website. So you can check it out there. But this is an ongoing campaign in England with Mr. T selling Snickers bars.
We can play a clip if you'd like. You want it now
or
later?
Let me set it up for you. It's Mr. T doing his best B.A. Baracus, where he's driving around on a truck. And he does various hilarious situations where he tells people to man up, basically, and eat Snickers.
Okay.
The theme of the campaign is get some nuts.
Yeah.
So he's telling you to man up and eat Snickers. That's the real snack for real men. Okay.
Okay.
In this particular commercial, a guy is speed walking instead of jogging.
Yeah.
He's just speed walking along. You know how lame that looks.
Yes.
So Mr. T comes tearing around in a flatbed truck with a Snickers gun and starts shooting Snickers at the dude. Until he starts moving his feet fast enough so he starts running like a regular person.
Right.
Instead of the speed walking. Right? Here's the clip from the commercial.
It's time to run like a real man!
That's it. That's all we have.
Okay.
Sorry.
So it's been shown in England, and it was going to start airing here in the States.
Oh, please tell me that somebody didn't complain and they pulled it.
But the gay, lesbian, and bisexual human rights community has said that it promotes violence against gay people.
How?
Who's gay in the commercial?
They say the guy who's speedwalking is gay, and Mr. T's making it okay to commit violence against gay people.
What?
Isn't he just speedwalking?
That's all he's doing.
He's not speedwalking holding another guy's hand, is he?
He's not performing oral sex on another man while speedwalking. There isn't a guy behind him while he's
speedwalking a little bit faster?
That's right, trying to probe him to speedwalk faster. It's just a dude.
That seems prejudiced, assuming a speedwalker is gay because he's speedwalking.
There,
that's probably
is.
I mean,
probably
let's be honest.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. I thought the American Association of Speedwalkers was going to protest.
Hey, we're not gay.
Right.
No, it's gay groups saying that it promotes violence against gays because Mr. T is shooting Snickers at him.
Come on.
And they're insisting that the spot not only never be played here in the U.S., and Mars, the company who makes Snickers, has already said they will not air it. But they have pulled the spot internationally. They will not air it anywhere for fear of further upsetting the gay community.
Trust me, people, when I tell you, you don't want to go down this road where anybody who complains, you give in to. Because then they complain more, and you give in more.
The reaction in the United Kingdom gay community has been mixed. Here's an interview with one guy. I'm gay, and I found the ad hilarious. If you make the connection between speed walking and homosexuality, then you are just perpetuating the stereotypes about gay men. And it's sad to see that gay people start to take themselves so seriously. And why do Americans feel like they have to complain about what is on television on this side of the pond?
That's a great question.
Amen.
Haven't these people have anything to do better in life than send complaint emails?
No, they don't.
It just makes us look like we can't handle anything with a sense of humor.
Do you know?
The Brits must look at us and say, are you kidding me? You're upset about this commercial with Mr. T and Snickers?
Isn't he shooting Snickers at a speedwalker?
Yes, that's all it is.
So speedwalkers are the only people who should be upset, if anyone.
T is saying, speedwalking's lame, run like a man, run hard, is what he's saying. Get some nuts. So that's the latest in the embarrassment that is special interest groups in the United States of America.
Balls.
So we will are denied seeing Mr. T in his rightful position as badass Snickers salesman.
Thank God for the internet.
Yeah, so if you want to see the commercial, it is actually very funny. You can go to the internet roundup on the Kevin and Bean section of the krock.com website and check it out. But it's just,
I think if Mr. T depressing. Says something is okay, it's okay. I think that should be the judgment.
It's just depressing.
It is depressing. It is.
It's just dumb.
Our company does the same thing. If one person complains, they go crazy bending over backwards, and people are always going to complain. You just need to say, hey, have a sense of humor and move on.
Yeah.
With one exception, though, Kevin. Doesn't matter how many complaints we get about Doc. Somehow those don't get read.
Okay, you're on my list.
Nobody ever says, well, people are complaining about Doc. Let's get rid of him for some reason.
All right, hang on. Let's say good morning to George real quick. Hi, George.
Hey, good morning.
You're a gay guy?
What's up, George?
Hey, what up? I'm gay, and that's so retarded. I want to shoot Snickers bars, whoever said that.
You want to shoot Snickers bars at your... Do you feel like the gay community complains a lot that you don't see eye to eye with? We can't really describe what goes on in the gay lifestyle, but yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so why are you going to complain about a Snickers bar being
commercial?
Somebody that has never even pointed out as gay?
The guy's not identified as gay, so it's ridiculous.
I sure wish more people were like you, George.
Here's the thing. I believe there is real prejudice against the gay and lesbian community. I mean, there's real damage being done in the world. Why not focus more on solving those issues rather than inventing prejudice in a Snickers commercial and go chasing after them?
I'll tell you what you do is people get tired of hearing about it, and then when it really happens and you complain, no one's going to care.
It is true.
Final word is don't hit a speedwalker with a Snickers bar. If you're driving a car, use that.
Right?
Well, you guys are with me on that.
Speedwalkers are pretty lame.
Only attack the straight speedwalkers. That's what
we're
saying.
Only the straight ones. Yeah. Those are okay.
And continue with my all-gay showbiz beat. Zac Efron's in the news.
What's going on with my sweet Zac?
Have you seen the pictures in this week's Star magazine?
Yes. Yes, I have.
They've got a photo of him. Two photos, a week apart. 7 days. Mm-hmm. One photo, he's in a bathing suit looking like Rodney. Just scrawny, pale, near death.
Right.
A week later, he is totally buff and yoked. I mean, big biceps, big shoulders, big.
Photoshop?
No, they're saying they think he's on steroids or GHG.
You can't grow that much in a week, can you, Mike?
No.
Then how do you explain it? How does he get swole in a week?
I've seen the pictures.
He's got his mouth.
Pardon me. In the first pictures, he's shirtless at the beach, relaxing. In the second one, he's clearly just coming out of the gym where he has worked out. And you have no point of reference of another man standing next to him. He's not really that much bigger. He just appears muscular because he just worked out. He's very pumped and stuff like that. His arms do look like real buff and stuff like that. But he's not necessarily any bigger than he was a week before. He just looks better because he came out of the gym.
But he looks significantly larger. His arms look significantly larger than...
Right, like I said, they appear better and more muscular and larger.
So you're saying it's all just the pump. Stop spitting food on Kevin.
And he is in good shape. The kid's in good shape. You can tell he constantly works out. So when he goes to the gym, he probably gets pretty vascular and pumped up because he works out hard. And he has like a...
I got it.
He has like a ringer tee on, too, which always helps your arms look a little bit more buffed out.
Okay. Sorry.
I like him both ways. I think he looks good.
What are you eating?
Nuts. Get some nuts. Fool, run like a real man.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
Mike could have said, he's just pumped. He's pumped from the gym. Could have.
Oh, no. It takes him 2 minutes to say that. You know that. Come on.
Today's celebrity birthday is Wesley Snipes. He's pumped, too.
He is.
In jail. Mm-hmm. He's been pumped. 46 years old today. Fatboy Slim is 45. Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling is 43 years old today. Dean Cain, who was Clark Kent and Superman on Lois and Clark, 42. And B.J. Novak from The Office turns 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ricky Carmichael later in the hour talking about X Games starting today. And we've got your tickets that you can win. Also, the story in 1 hour of a 73-year-old Japanese porn star. The dude's made over 200 adult movies. He's a huge star over there. Apparently, elderly porn is one of the fastest growing segments of the porn industry. We'll talk about that in 1 hour.
Elderly porn.
Yuck.
I know. Dude. Plus, Tito Ortiz coming in the studio. Let's talk about things you found out about your spouse after the wedding. It seems like there are certain things that, maybe before the wedding is the time to discuss them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We've taken a couple of calls in What It Do Nephew. One was about OCD.
I've been married to my wife for 1 year, and last night she revealed to me that she might have OCD.
It's really?
We have light switches to turn on one light. And if you turn one of the light switch on, you just reverse the other one. So
right.
To turn on the light,
right,
you
of course.
Have to push it. Yeah. Well, she cannot do that. She's told me that for the last year, every night before, when I'm asleep, she wakes up and she reverses them. It's super weird. It creeped me out. Are you kidding me? For 1 year, we've been married, and she has OCD.
Okay, that's Raul from yesterday's show, and that's a pretty mild thing, I think, to find out about somebody. That doesn't seem like it's that big a deal. Who knows what the OCD will turn into? But there are people who have been married for 20 years and then find out that their partner had a kid that they didn't know about, or is a felon, or used to be a hooker. I mean, there's any number of things that you don't necessarily offer up at, when you're dating, and then the time never seems to come where you can now talk about it.
Yeah. You know what? You passed that time where you should have already brought it up.
Yes.
So now
yes.
You might as well just hope it stays hidden forever.
Yeah, and it never
exactly.
does.
I don't think you really want to find out things after you get married, though. I don't think that's a good precedent, probably.
No.
So we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Things you found out about your spouse after the wedding. This other one call that we got was a girl who'd been with a dude for 5 years.
So this guy that I've been with for 5 years, he's never smoked weed his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never told him that I did because I thought he'd be like, kind of upset about it or whatever. So 3 weeks after we got married, it came up. And he didn't believe me.
You've been with him for 5 years? And you haven't told him that you smoke weed?
Because you know what? I'm not like a huge pothead or anything. I just do it like once in a while.
Yeah.
So it was never really a big deal.
Okay. So he found out.
And I never did it around him. So it happened to be April 19th. And I was like, well, tomorrow's 4:20. I might as well, I'll go ahead and prove it to you.
And then she said,
but it's only weed.
He strangely was turned on by it.
Yeah, he thought it was hot.
She didn't tell him for 5 years because she was afraid he would react to it negatively, and he thought it was the greatest thing in the world, which is really strong.
It's kind of weird.
I'm trying to think if there are any surprises on either side of my marriage about things that we didn't know about. I don't think so.
How do you not have an entire encyclopedia of stuff she doesn't know about? Let's be honest.
I don't know. I don't think they're really. I mean, occasionally you find out stuff along the way that you didn't know that's not a big deal. Like, I never knew my wife was a cheerleader, for instance, in high school and college. I never knew that until we were married.
High school and college?
Yeah. Never knew that for a number of years.
Wow.
But that's not the type of thing that she intentionally hid. It had just never come up before. But in terms of like bad stuff or really surprising stuff, I don't think there's been anything for me. But a lot of people are going to have stuff that they found out. Maybe too late in some cases at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to get your call in on the air this morning.
You don't want to say, wait a minute, you were in jail? Really? Tell me about that.
Don't want to know about that.
Ross in Claremont, good morning.
What up, party people?
Things you found out after the wedding.
Well, after 16 years, believe it or not, I found out that my wife was a cheating whore.
Well, I don't think
that's what we're talking about.
I don't think that's the same unless she was a cheating whore before you married her.
Well, that I don't know about because she was good at hiding it.
Yeah. Well, see, she could have started at any point.
Sure.
16 years, people. 16 years. That's a long time to find out, right?
Right, I got you.
Yeah, it is. It's a raw deal. We feel bad for you. Not exactly what we're looking for here today.
Sorry, wrong topic. You're a 16-year whore.
But good delivery.
Yeah, we might need to, we might need to do that as a call-in topic as well. But let's how long somebody cheated before you found out. Let's go to Frank in Pasadena. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin B?
Things you found out about after the wedding.
My wife has a tail.
Ah. Oh, come on.
Wait a minute.
I swear, dude, it's a medical thing. She's had it since she was a child.
Oh, we know about tails.
No, we know all about it, but how did you not find out about it before the wedding?
It was really weird because she never let me rub her back or, you know, massage her, roll her over on her belly or anything like that. She never let me do that.
Yeah.
And eventually I got mad at her. And then she told me what was wrong and why she was so embarrassed.
I don't want you to... How long after you were married?
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, of course. That's the best. Are you kidding?
How much can she use the tail?
What's that?
Can she use it at all? Because it seems like there are times where you could use a third hand.
No.
I don't think it has opposable thumbs or anything.
I'm just asking.
But
it's
maybe
just a tail.
You can use it as a handle.
Next call.
No, she can't hang it. She can't wag it or nothing.
Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad.
All right, now this is fascinating. Mike is wigging out. He's going to throw up because he has a thing about tails. But we love tails. Our friend Stryker has a tail, for God's sakes. How long, including dating her, and now however long you've been married, how long from the time you guys started getting together until the time you found out about the tail?
Almost 2 years.
Wow.
Isn't that unbelievable?
How do you,
it was unreal. Yeah.
I mean, when you're naked and you're walking away, are you backing out of the
she
room?
She backs out, yeah. She walks backwards.
Do?
She would never take a shower with me, and she would never expose her waist from her waist down. She would always have pants on or something, and
wow.
I always thought it was weird.
Yeah,
it is weird, yeah.
She'd never come to bed with me. She would always wait until I got in bed, and then she would come in bed.
But what about, like, a swimsuit?
What's that?
What about a swimsuit at any point?
No, you can't tell. You can't tell when it's... When she's got clothes on, you can't tell.
Yeah.
You can only tell when she's completely naked.
No, I see.
But I would think, though, you know, without getting into too much detail, just putting your arms around her, sometimes they would go up and down her back or her backside. I would think that you would have felt it at some point.
Oh, no, she never allowed me to even touch her butt like that.
Isn't that wild?
She would okay. pull my hand up and stuff, and I'd be like, what's the problem? Why are you doing this? She's all...
Now that you know...
Nice
with you people. With the language. Today.
She doesn't care at all now, is what he's saying. Thank you, Frank.
Okay.
That's the best. Oh, if Donna had a tail, I would be so happy.
Yeah, I'm not with you on the sexiness of the tail. I don't think that's good.
It's funny.
No, the tail,
it's funny.
Great. The tail's great for everything, though, not just for sex. I mean, it's just awesome to have.
All right, Sherry, Stacy, Joey, everybody else, hold on. We'll get to your calls in a second. Things you found out about after the wedding at 1-800-520-
Right now, taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Stuff you found out after you were already married and it shocked you. Crystal writes in, I found out after we were already married and had our first child that my husband's dad is a bum, shopping cart and all. Talk about a surprise.
Wow.
That's what we're talking about. The type of thing that never came up the whole time they were dating, through getting married, having a kid, the whole thing. And then eventually you find out and you go, what?
What do you do about the wedding, though? I mean, do you... Just elope or something? I mean,
don't know.
That's weird.
Let's try Stacy in Torrance on line 6 on the Kevin Bean Show. Stacy, what'd you find out after you were married?
I dated my husband. We lived together, got married 2004. My tax guy told us we owed $40,000 to the IRS.
What?
And that was the first you heard of any kind of back taxes owed?
Yeah, because we always did it separate. I always went to my guy or did it, and he just didn't pay for 5 years.
So how long were you married?
No. We got married in 2004, and then when my tax guy did it in 2005, that's when I found out we were $40,000, and they would take my money too.
Oh,
what did you
do?
Yeah.
Huh?
What are you doing about it?
Well, we paid it off finally, and now we're kind of, it's put a real big strain.
Anything
now you're
else?
Handling the books, I think. Anything I else you want to tell me, honey?
I think that is grounds for annulment.
Yeah,
seriously.
You would think so.
$40,000.
$40,000.
Yeah.
And just because he just didn't pay.
Yeah.
That's the best. What a douche. All right.
Thanks
for the call.
Thanks for the call.
Let's go to Sherry in Long Beach. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning.
Hi.
So my parents are from New York, and they met when my mom was like 22, and they drove out to California.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lived together for a couple years, and my mom had two kids from like a previous marriage. And so then their California driver's license came in, and my mom opened my dad's, and she's like, honey, I think they messed up. And he's like, oh, I've been meaning to tell you that. And he's like 5 years younger than what he said he was. So he was 16 when he drove out here with my mom and her two kids.
What?
Telling her he was 21.
What?
So, yeah, but, I mean, it worked out. Well, kind of. They were married for like 25 years, but.
Oh, how old was your dad when he and your mom got married?
He was 18, but she still had, 18? Like, no. Yeah, she didn't have any idea till like, after the license had come in, because they kind of, you know, they waited to change their license till they had been here for a while.
That's awesome.
So she thought she was marrying a 23-year-old, and she was marrying an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's great. Thank you. That's the kind of thing I don't think you want to find out later, since you're driving across the country with a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
It could be arrested.
Joey in Long Beach. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin B. Good morning, Samantha.
Good morning.
What'd you find out?
Well, I was married for 5 years when I found out that my wife was a full-blown lesbian and not the cool threesome kind.
Not the cool threesome kind?
No, like a full-on, like, she was only with a guy because that's what she was raised with, and she actually was a lesbian since she was, like, 15.
No.
And where she's from, it's not cool, you know, in the Midwest, you know,
right.
To be a lesbian. Well, when she came out here in the military, that's how I met her, she, you know, she was more around it. And when we, you know, after about 5 years, we had this barbecue. She had her friends over, some of my friends. I walked in, and she's making out with another girl with her hand down each other's pants.
Oh,
well, so far,
like,
so good.
Yeah, but, now we're
so
talking.
Until they asked you to leave, right?
No, well, actually, I left because I was just kind of, I wasn't mad. I was just kind of like, hey.
You're freaked
you know,
out.
At least tell me or invite me or whatever. But I come to find out that she only married me because that's what her parents wanted her to do.
Wow.
And she didn't want everybody to know that she was a lesbian. And we actually got divorced because of it. And she's actually with the same girl.
And very happy.
Very, very happy. Wow.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's bad surprise. And obviously it was devastating for you because you married her because you loved her and wanted her to be your wife, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I thought, you know, and I knew nothing about that. You know, she liked girls or she wanted to be with girls or, you know, she actually didn't want to be with me. You know, it was really strange because, you know, my sister, who is a lesbian, she told me that she was. And I'm like, she's not. There's no way she is. And come to find out, she was.
Yeah.
How about that? Mm-hmm. Well, dude, it wasn't your fault. Not like there was anything you could have done about it. I mean, you operated in good faith. That's all you could do, right?
Exactly.
I think she made the right decision, Joey. I got to be honest. I've only been talking to you for about 30 seconds, but
I hope she ends up marrying your sister.
Ricky Carmichael, like, no doubt right now is the best motocross rider out right now.
I hear you're going faster than ever outdoors.
I've got to be going faster than ever outdoors.
He's so scary that riders are like, just go.
Carmichael goes outside, crosses back in with a great drive up the hill.
You know, I think the biggest thing for me is just no pressure. That's what makes your ride good. Good, 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 good.
Here he is, Ricky Carmichael to the checkered flag. Inside goes Carmichael again to take the lead.
Don't make us come on after the guy that goes, Ricky Carmichael.
Ricky. I love that guy's voice. I wish he would do stuff for us.
I wish he was doing this show. I would listen to him instead. X Games 14, Staples Center, Event Deck at LA Live, downtown LA, and Home Depot Center in Carson. It all kicks off today through Sunday, and we're very pleased to welcome Ricky Carmichael back to the Kevin B. and Sean K-Rock. How are you, man?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Great to talk to you. I'm so glad that you're going to be doing the Moto X Step Up tomorrow night because, thank God, maybe you'll finally win something. I mean, wouldn't that be great just for once to feel the thrill of victory, Ricky?
Oh, dude, it would be amazing. I'm still going for it, my man.
To have been shut out for this long in your career, though, I mean, this is going to be...
We just heard right before we picked up, we were all looking forward to the Moto X Step Up, but we just heard just before we got you on the phone that now you're talking about competing in the whip, too.
Yeah, going to do that. It's new... new competition this year, and looking forward to it. Obviously, I'm out here and figuring, man, why not do it? And, sounds fun, and I'm pretty decent at that, so we're gonna have a good time. And I'm not claiming anything for that.
But we just heard that you hadn't done it till yesterday.
No, I haven't. Never hit a metal ramp till yesterday. My whole life. So, man, I know it's. I've been riding motorcycles for 23 years. It's funny to know that I never hit a ramp till yesterday.
See, here's a guy who just goes, I'll do it. Man, yeah. What the hell? It's the X Games. You know what? I'll do it.
Yeah, why have you never done it before?
Just because, you know, the freestyle ramps and stuff is obviously only for freestyle, and me being, you know, racing my whole career, that's the reason that I never hit it, never had time.
They don't really have a lot of those in the racing, unfortunately. Yeah. So, but you're doing the step up.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of the high jump, for those of you that haven't seen it, on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And then the best whip is tonight at Staples, right?
Yeah, sure is. It's 9:15 tonight, a little late, and then Moto X is at 7. The step up's at 7 tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, this whole event is just so much fun. It's competitive at the same time, but very fun for to watch some other events, and it's a good time.
You know what's bizarre about this sport, and I've gone to the X Games a lot of years. It's really unique in that everybody's having a great time, and while they're all super competitive, they all want to win. They all still are cheering for each other when they see something spectacular happen. They're all really genuinely happy to see someone else do it.
It's pretty
cool.
Are, and it blew my mind when I did this deal the first time last year. Is, you know, in moto and stuff, when you're racing, everyone just, you know, don't talk to anyone, and it's all about yourself, and you hate the next guy. Well, not actually hate the next guy, you know what I mean? But then you come here, and it's like, you know, there's a lot of pressure to win, but then at the same time, you're pumped when the guy does something very, very cool, and that's what I like about it. It's, you know, it has both, as a competitiveness and the fun stuff. So like I said, I'm just looking forward to having a good time and looking to see what everybody else can do. It's fun to watch.
Now, you're semi-retired.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, I don't race motocross anymore. I still help out, you know, Suzuki with testing and all that, and before Supercross, and testing their good stuff, and so I'm done with that, and then now I race NASCAR's divisional diversity series, their development series called the Camping World East Division. They have a Camping World West as well for the guys out here.
And what kind of racing is that?
It's stock car racing.
Stock cars.
Yeah, stock car racing, and just gearing up to do that, man.
Now, is that tough to get them to accept you as an outsider coming into their sport? Do they give you a hard time?
No, they like it. You know, I think I bring in a little bit of fan base, and I think they're all about it. You know, they're very nice. They've been very receptive of me coming in, and it's been a warm welcoming. I think it's great.
We have Ricky Carmichael on the line. Of course, we're talking about the X Games 14. Hey, Kevin, do we have tickets to give away here today? I know sometimes we have them that we can throw out.
We do.
Right. Let's give away a couple.
Say
pair.
We do. And
let's say we do. Right.
Yeah.
Again, it starts today through Sunday. If you want to call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll hook you up with some tickets. And, of course, they are still available at Ticketmaster per day, too. I read one of the Moto News things that I read this week was talking about this amateur motocross championship that you won many, many years ago, Ricky.
Yeah.
And there was, it was an article about the six-year-old that qualified for that championship. How old were you when you raced in that?
I didn't go there till I was eight or 9 years old.
You're such a slow learner, dude.
I'm back. Backing up, man. It's amazing. Yeah, there's a big race in Tennessee. It's the biggest amateur race of the year that the country has, and it's in Tennessee. Actually, Loretta Lynn's Dude Ranch is where it's at. And
that's right.
Yeah, everybody in the country goes there. Everybody from here. I mean, everybody, and it is the place. And it's pretty good. It's kind of where you make your name and hopefully be, you know, make it professional.
Ricky,
dude is six. This guy's 6 years old, okay? Yeah. He started racing when he was 2.5. And I have to ask about the parents. Kevin, you've raised your kids. What, I mean, is it unusual for a parent to want to put a kid on a motorized vehicle at 2.5 years old? Or does it happen all the time and I'm just not aware of it?
Well, I'm a parent, and that sport. Yeah, it isn't out of the usual, but you know, if you're not in the sport, yeah, it is unusual.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, me being a parent, I can tell you my children aren't going to be on a motorcycle at 6 years
of age.
racing that level at 6 years old, rather.
Right, cuz they got to start, you know, years before that and kind of learn how to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it difficult to stay semi-retired if you feel like you could still get out there and win?
No, it isn't.
Not really?
I know that, you know, it would look pretty for about 4 laps, and then it would all go, it all gets turned really bad really quick. So I'm happy with what I've done. There's no need for me to go out there thinking I can do what I could do a year and a half ago.
But you also kind of have to identify with a guy like Brett Favre, who every year at the end of the football season struggles with, oh, can I really walk away from it, or do I love it so much I have to come back?
Yeah, he loves it so much, and, you know, he wants to come back. But, yeah, it would be easy to come back, but eventually, I mean, you have to be honest with yourself, and especially our sport is so much cardio and strength involved that, yeah, it's too hard to, you know, to come back and do it properly.
Yeah. You are doing we were having this a similar conversation with Carrie Hart yesterday. Both of you guys are great examples of guys who figured out a graceful exit, a way to keep one foot in the sport while kind of retiring and get involved in other things, like you with NASCAR and him with all the other business stuff he's got going on. I mean, you were really smart to kind of think ahead so it didn't just end one day and you had nothing.
Right. And that was always the plan, you know, to get out safe and then do other things. So you know, I had a great career. Carrie was good at what he did, and yep. You know, I'm good with where I'm at. I'm happy with what I've accomplished, and there's no need to go out and try to hold on to something that I know, you know, is you know, you could either get hurt or, you know, the ending wouldn't be as what it was supposed to be. That's
right.
Fun.
Exactly.
I'd like to see you compete in the BMX at the Super Park this year. Would you consider that?
Yeah. That you guys want to see something comical get me on a BMX bike.
You've got to be kind of good at it, no?
No, not even. Man.
Wow.
I'm horrible on that. if it doesn't have an engine and and two wheels,
you know,
I am not. Trust me, it isn't pretty.
I got you. All right, we're gonna scratch you from the surfing competition too, because we're gonna try to talk you into that. So
that too.
Well, Ricky, you're one of the greats, man. It's always a thrill to have you on the program. We're very excited about X Games 14 starting today. Ricky tonight with the whip, and then tomorrow night with the Moto X step up. Thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K Rock, dude.
Thanks for having me, man. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you, man.
The 73-year-old Japanese porn star.
Hold on.
What was that?
Hold on, DJ AM.
Beans, what happened there?
Beans working the wheels of steel.
Oh, I see.
You know how he do.
The 73-year-old Japanese porn star.
DJ Omar Khan.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up after 8 o'clock here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then Tito Ortiz joins us in the studio, too. So all of that straight ahead. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Thursday. What's happening?
I want to give people a heads up. They want to see something cool. I just got tipped off to this by listener Claudia, so I appreciate it. It is a live, free, public show featuring the band from TV. You know those guys, the band from TV. These are TV stars who have put together their own band, and they play charity events around the South.
Yeah.
Headed up by Greg Grunberg, our pal from Heroes and from Alias.
Mm-hmm.
Also in the band, James Denton from Desperate Housewives. Bob Guinea, who was on The Bachelor. Jesse Spencer, who's on House. Hugh Laurie, from time to time, plays with the band. I don't think he'll be at this particular event. But also joining the band will be Terry Hatcher, Hayden Panettiere, Kristen Bell.
All right,
no way!
Then.
Wow.
And Adrian Pazdar. They are going to do an event called Netflix Live on Location, which is a celebration of classic TV shows that you can find on DVD. It's going to be held at the Autry National Center of the American West, which used to be known back in my day as the Gene Autry Museum.
Right.
Yeah.
But now it's the Autry National Center of the American West.
Sure.
Flimsy. It is at 4700 Western Heritage Way in Los Angeles, California, and I'm pretty sure it's down there by Griffith Park, right?
Yeah,
that's correct. That's exactly where it is.
Near the zoo.
If it hasn't burnt down, you can go see it. But it sounds to be pretty cool. It's going to be Saturday, August the 9th at 7 p.m. You can see band from TV give their performance. And then after that, 8 o'clock, they're going to be doing some classic TV show screenings. You can see episodes of The Bob Newhart Show, Mary Tyler Moore, Cosby Show, Muppet Show, Schoolhouse Rock. So it sounds like a fun evening. If you have nothing to do Saturday, August 9th, you might want to check out band from TV.
They're and decent, too, by the way.
They're real good.
Are they good?
Yeah. and it's free. So just want to give you a little heads up.
Doesn't sound good.
What do you mean it doesn't sound good?
It sounds really fun.
It doesn't sound... I don't know.
They're
just
a great, like, party garage band. Yeah, they do a great job.
All right.
All right. Sorry, Mr.
Wet Blanket.
Mr.
I'm just saying.
Musical critic. I didn't know.
Most times when TV stars get together to do a band, it's not, you know.
Better than Probably we could do.
No, we got to get our band back together.
We got to get the band back together.
We really do. Yeah.
But I understand what Kevin's saying, but they're not coming out and claiming to be musical stars and writing their own songs. I mean, they're doing fun covers is what they're doing.
Yeah, they do like classic rock covers.
And they're very competent.
I got you.
Yes. So, anyway.
Come
good.
On, you know you want it.
Despite what Kevin says, it's going to be fun. So, if you want to check it out. I was mentioning the Mr. T Snickers ad in the last hour.
Yes.
Yes.
How Gay rights groups have complained of homophobia about the commercial because Mr. T fires Snickers bars at a speedwalker, telling him to run faster, to run like a man.
Right.
Instead of just walking funny. And the gays said that is promoting violence against gays.
It doesn't identify him as gay, does
not
it?
Not in the least. Not at all.
Hmm. Commercial has nothing to do with gays.
None
or
whatsoever.
Their agenda or lifestyle or
nothing.
Anything. It's just a guy speedwalking,
just
right?
Just a speedwalker who Mr. T says should run like a man, so he shoots Snickers at his feet with like a Gatling gun to make him lift his knees up and start running.
Come
which
on.
Which is just funny. That's all that is.
Right. He doesn't pull over and beat the guy in the head or anything like that. He just throws a candy bar out.
Maybe
like,
it's... Hey, fool, do you kiss men?
And then starts firing
nope, nothing
candy
like
bars
that.
At nothing like that.
Maybe it's the
that?
Term run like a man.
Well, the whole premise is get some nuts. It's, yeah. it's the man up.
Right.
Stop doing Pilates and start lifting weights. It's,
right.
it's obviously way out there, and they're just playing off the macho stereotype of Mr. T and have him saying,
right.
real man eat Snickers. That's all it's about. It's no real... socio-political content to it whatsoever.
Oh, I guess God, I we should this. All be proud to be homos.
So the gay rights group that complained has gotten not only the commercial from never airing here in the States, but they got it pulled internationally as well. So you can't see it in England or anywhere else where this campaign originally started. But a listener sent me in another commercial, the first in this series of commercials, which is even funnier. Mr. T saying that basically soccer players aren't real men because a guy is playing soccer and someone runs into him and he grabs his leg and starts rolling around on the ground,
which they
writhing
do
in
all
pain,
which the time.
They flop quicker than anyone else in professional sports. Soccer players.
I love soccer, but I hate that.
So this guy grabs his leg and starts screaming in agony, and Mr. T comes over a hill in a tank. It goes after this guy. Here's a little audio from that commercial.
Quit your jibber jabber. You ain't hurt. You pathetic. If I ever catch you acting like a crazy fool again, you're going to meet my friend Pain. Snickers, get some nuts.
Get some nuts. Get some nuts.
Are they complaining about that one yet? Because obviously the soccer players are gay.
They haven't complained about that one yet, no.
But. Well, they certainly should.
You're going to meet my friend Pain.
He's the best.
He's the best. We got a tea back in again. Remember the time we had tea in here? That was
mine
a great
too.
It was an inspirational
life.
Morning.
It was spectacular.
I would vote for him for president of the United States right now, hands down. I don't care who he's running against.
I'd make him king. King for life.
Even better.
Yeah. We don't have a king.
For life.
We should,
even better.
We should have one.
All right.
We should have king for life, and he should be Mr. T.
All right.
Cat fight!
Yes!
Who? What?
Miley Cyrus and Katy Perry.
Uh-oh.
Really?
Get out the wading pool and fill it with pudding. That's what I say. Katy Perry recently joked in an interview when asked about kissing girls, you know, because she has the hit song, I Kissed a Girl, Who Do You Want to Kiss? And she said maybe she would do her own version of the infamous Madonna lesbian Britney Spears kiss with Miley Cyrus at the upcoming Teen Choice Awards.
I kissed a girl.
She was making a joke. Miley Cyrus apparently doesn't have a sense of humor.
Oh, dear God.
She responded, no thanks. Katie sang on my record, so I think she's kind of trying to get back at me, because all she was doing was harmonies and backgrounds.
Ooh.
What?
Wow.
Apparently, Katy Perry used to be a session singer, and she did some work on one of Miley Cyrus's
okay,
albums.
But she has her own CD now.
Yeah. By the way, she's had the number one song for 6 weeks in a row, too.
I don't think... Wow, that's lame.
So, Katy Perry responded with, 6 weeks in a row at number one. That's all she said.
Yes.
Wow.
Kiss, kiss, bang, 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 bang.
Rodney.
And she added that Miley Cyrus recorded two of Katie's old songs that she actually wrote. So really no reason to be bitchy here in this situation.
Yeah, that doesn't make any
apparently
sense at
she was
all.
Just making a joke. And by the way, Katy Perry, way hot. Miley Cyrus, not so much.
Katy Perry's way hot.
Way.
I mean,
yes,
not
she
is. Stalled up for
not
videos.
Like she's cute for a singer kind
right,
of hot.
Yeah.
She's hot.
Wow.
That's what we're saying.
What are you saying?
Saying she wins the cat fight. Hands down. Though I'd like to see it still. You know what I'm saying? Once Miley turns 18, of course, because that would be wrong.
Of course.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Miley won't kiss a girl. She'll just pose in a shower with a t-shirt on.
With her llama teeth.
Does llama teeth? Doesn't have llama teeth.
I saw her eating
some
trees out in a pasture.
Does that not look like Miley Cyrus?
All right.
You can't do visual jokes for one on the radio, okay?
Well, I couldn't picture llama teeth. I didn't know what the...
I happen to have a llama.
He happens to have
one. He has a picture of a llama on his cell phone.
He does.
Inexplicably. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Wesley Snipes is 46 years old today. Actually, he was 46. The government took 3 years.
Is that right?
So he's now 43 years old.
That's cool. They can do that.
Well, they're taxing him in every way they can. Fatboy Slim is 45 years old today. Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling is 43. Have you seen the new trailer for Half-Blood Prince?
No, I haven't. Mm-hmm.
Oh, looks good. Looks scary.
I like all those movies.
Dean Cain from Lois and Clark. He is 42 years old. And B.J. Novak. Our friend who's a writer and producer and, of course, star of The Office. He is 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The bad boy of Huntington Beach, Tito Ortiz, joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or so here on The Kevin Bean Show. There's always a lot going on with that dude. First, though, you're going to be glad. I think you're going to be glad. Maybe you'll be sad that you're listening to The Kevin Bean Show this morning when you hear this report from CNN.
Shigeo Takuda looks like your average retiree. But there is nothing average about this 73-year-old when he steps in front of the camera. Shigeo Takuda is a porn star. From the old to the young, Takuda woos and coos and always gets the girl. With 200 porn movies under his belt, Takuda, that's his porn name, is Japan's leading man in the genre of elderly porn.
Okay, elderly porn are the words you never want to hear together.
Those two words do not go together, elderly and porn.
Who wants to see elderly porn?
Apparently elderly people do. Look. Apparently they're the ones who enjoy it the most, yeah.
Japan crazy. We know that from the game shows. But elderly porn. This guy's made over 200 movies and he's 73.
Yes. And he's still making them too. Let's go to the phones now. We have the great Takuda on the line with us from Tokyo right now. Good morning, Takuda.
Good morning, Kevin and the Bean. How are you today?
We're very good. Not as good as you, though.
Hi.
Hi. You're 73 years old, and you're not just working. You're banging.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, I am in my second career now as a porn star.
Okay, wow. Right. But you didn't start your career as a porn star until after you retired, right?
That's right. I was a travel agent.
A travel agent.
Okay.
And I retired, sold my travel agency, and now I am a porn star.
Right. And you're an enormous star there in Japan, and you have sex with the young women all the way up until the very old woman. I mean, you do it all.
Sometimes more than one.
More than one.
At a time. And thank you for saying I'm enormous. You must have seen my work.
No, I think he means just
popular. Popular. Now, we don't know much about your country, but is there no stigma that you have to deal with because you're in the adult entertainment industry in Japan?
No, there's no smegma.
No stigma.
I wash every day.
No stigma. Stigma.
Oh, excuse me?
Does anyone look down on your choice of a career?
I look down on it all the time. I'm looking down on it now.
No, that's not what I mean. Oh, we got some language difficulties here. What do your friends and family think about your line of work, Takuda?
My friends are very happy for me, mm-hmm. and they give me many high fives.
They give you a lot of high fives?
Yes, for giving this spicy tuna roll to many young women.
Yeah! How did you get interested in this particular career after retiring?
Well, I started to get bored after I retired from a travel agency.
Right.
I started looking for new work and saw an ad in a newspaper looking for older men for pearl diving.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I went in and it turned out to be a different kind of pearl.
What?
Yeah. Different kind of diving.
You read between the lines there, yeah.
So now I exercise the ferret on a regular basis.
Is that right?
I am often parking the Toyota in the garage of love.
We understand, yes.
I am giving many women the Tony Danza.
What? That's an expression in Japan?
I give them the al dente rigatoni. I treat them to the overripe cantaloupe.
Yeah, I don't know what you're saying.
I let them enjoy the salted slug.
Okay, I think we get the idea.
I provide the...
You provide what? You provide the...
Takuda, you okay?
Are you acting right now? Takuda, pull it together.
Come on, be a professional. Wait, the salted slug?
I provide for them the hot buttered Rumsfeld. I give them the giraffe elbow. I provide the angry Samoan.
Yeah, okay, all right.
I often am called upon to do the Rudy Tooty Fresh and Booty.
Oh, no.
I am often in the apple dumpling bang.
Oh.
I give them the rear admiral.
Okay, that's fine.
Today I am filming a jealous porcupine.
Is that right? Wow.
Finishing off with the hot Mikado.
Oh, I'll be looking for that one.
Hot buttered Rumsfeld is too funny.
You're going to do what to Tito because he's late, Kevin? What were you just saying at the end of that song?
Oh, you're so
sound like
funny.
You were going to really like throw down, dude.
Talk,
oh,
that's so
did funny. You hear what he said, yeah. Mike? You heard what Kevin said, right?
Oh, that's funny.
He's going to own him, he said. Anyway, Tito Ortiz on his way to K-Rock now. We'll talk to him in a couple of minutes here. It's 8:24 Thursday morning. Let's catch up with some email. What do you got?
Hey, guys, just wondering, checking out the sites area of the Kevin and Bean page. Happen to notice in all the recent pictures that Kevin is wearing the exact same shirt.
Yeah, that's
a lot of people have been commenting on that lately. It's just it's some variation of a striped shirt like Charlie Brown wears in the comics.
That's all I have, really. I just buy crappy shirts. I didn't know it was coming through. Bean is a stand-up. He's got the same shirt in every picture.
I know. I thought they were talking about Bean at first, but then they mentioned the stripes.
How dare
that's
you?
You have a look.
Yeah.
I just buy crappy shirts.
Kind of Waldo-ish.
I don't really care.
Now, here's an email that was actually sent to our newsman, Doc, but we were copied on it, so I'll read this. Dear Doc, says Andrew, I want to spend a few minutes to thank you this morning for the in-depth weather reports you do each day. Once again, I appreciate the insight that your report provides to select my appropriate attire. Today's weather, 70s to 90s. It's a huge help, Doc. No longer do I have to open my window and take a guess at the daily temperature. Now I just listen to K-Rock in the morning, and I get detailed insight into the 30-degree temperature range. Faithful listener for over 30 years, Andy.
Okay, you're on my list.
Doc's proud of that. He does a lot of work.
That's kind of the... If you give the weather in Southern California, it is that different.
It is.
Depending on where you live. Right, exactly.
The valley, yeah.
This is sort of weather related. Hi, Kevin and Bean. I know you guys agree that Southern California is lame when it comes to any kind of pseudo disaster. The media goes crazy. Everything has to be a huge alert and emergency. For example, it slightly rains. It's Rain Watch 2009.
Sure.
Or it's flood alert. For fires, cold weather, heat waves, and even earthquakes, it's all the same. All day long yesterday, I guess this email was sent yesterday about the earthquake the day before. All day long yesterday, I saw on the TV the media going to different stores and showing things falling off the shelves. Go figure. The ground shakes and things fall down. Big effing deal. Pick it up and get over it. What's with all these maps on the website with tabs showing where everyone who writes in lives on a map? Really? Do we need to know that? Move on. There was an earthquake. Minimal damage. No deaths. No injuries. Just venting about how badly the Southern California media exaggerates ESPE. So we couldn't agree with you more. I think we covered our love of the earthquake coverage yesterday.
But we love it. I mean, I don't want them to change at all.
No, not a bit.
I wouldn't have them change a single thing from their 12 hours of live coverage of a non-event.
Thank God you asked four-year-olds where they were during the earthquake.
That's illuminating.
What it felt like. Brian writes, can somebody please explain the white pants thing to me?
A lot of people want to know about the white pants lately.
I'm assuming it's got to do with chicks being wild, but I've never totally understood it. I don't think I'm a square by any means, but this is just one thing I don't get. Maybe you can help a loyal listener out. Rock on, Brian.
Look, we don't understand how it works. We just know that it does. That if a girl wears white pants, she likes it. She likes to come into the back door of the house, if you know what I'm saying.
The back door.
I don't know how it works. It just does.
Someone told us about it. We didn't know before.
That's true.
Yeah.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Trent writes in, and this is day two. He plans on writing us every single day until we stop Mike from making any sound on the air. Day two, I'm going strong. I'm working on a petition to circulate as well. Kevin, from what I've seen, you run the control board there at K-Rock.
That's
please,
correct.
For the sake of humanity, just cut the mic. I'm praying for all of you to have to deal with him as a person. All I have to do is turn the radio down, Trent. See you tomorrow. So every single day, he's going to write in until he gets some satisfaction to get Mike off the air.
Wow.
All right.
The problem is he shares a mic with me, so I could turn off the mic, but then I couldn't talk, and
right.
Everybody needs to hear what I have to say.
Trent doesn't say that that's a bad thing either, by the
way.
Oh,
okay. We were going to go on, but I see that Tito is in the next room, so we'll take a quick break and come right back.
The Huntington Beach Bad Boys, Tito Ortiz.
I'm not retired.
I'll be fighting for at least another 3 more years.
I'm done with the UFC.
Great job done by Tito!
Tito Ortiz, you smell good. How do you do it?
With Big Man Deodorant. When it comes to body odor, it kicks butt.
Tito is swinging for the fences.
Tito has a great look in his eyes. The old Tito is back.
Tito's conditioning is second to none. His work ethic is second to none.
I'm always just looking for, you know, great fights and the biggest fights out there.
Tito wades in with a big right hand.
Look at the smile on the face of Ortiz. Tito's starting to have fun. Starting to look like the Tito of old.
You know, fighting at heavyweight is a possibility for me. People want to see me fight Kimbo.
I will be back. I guarantee it.
Huntington Beach, bad boy, Tito Ortiz.
Does it smell like he's got the bad boy deodorant going on this morning? Is he okay?
No, he's good. Lovely.
Is he clean?
I always smell good. That's the number one thing. You got to smell good.
Yep, absolutely.
How you doing, Tito? Good to have you on again, man.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on the show, man. I appreciate it.
No worries. Although I heard a nasty rumor that your girlfriend's out in the car right now and you're in here, which means we lose. What's that all about?
Well, actually, she's sitting in a Phantom, so she's not really...
She's listening to the
show. You know, we had an early morning this morning. I mean, and I had to get up actually at 6:30, and it took me an hour and a half just to get here from
Huntington Beach.
Wow. No, don't be sorry at all. It's welcome to Southern California. I could deal with the traffic because we have beautiful weather, so it's always good.
That's true. If you remind yourself of that a lot during that hour and a half.
Well, I travel a lot, so I see a lot of the world, and believe me, Southern California, we're doing really, really good.
All right.
Tito is here and in town this weekend because the International MIMA Expo is happening at the Long Beach Convention Center. We may have talked to you, but I don't remember much about it last year. But you said there were, 30,000 people last year for the first one of the Expo?
Yeah, for the first one. Somewhere around there. It's just growing so huge with mixed martial arts the way it is now. I mean, so many fans are attracted to it. And, you know, we are great athletes and we entertain a lot of people. So they get a chance to come down, of course, this weekend. And do autographs and so forth. It's just part of something I've always wanted to do, you know, with fans that watch the mixed martial arts sport, how big it's really gotten to what it is today. And I'm like one of the front flag bearers of the whole sport. And it's been a lot of work and it's showing off, you know, for once.
Yeah, you're the name. I mean, obviously, I understand the draw of people coming down to get the autograph from you and meet you and stuff. But what kinds of, I mean, will there be fights going on that people can watch?
No, there's no fights. They may have a few expeditions, but there's mostly all clothing companies. My clothing company, Punishment Athletics, actually will have a booth there. We'll be doing autographs, signings. Myself, Kendall Grove, Rob McCullough, a few other fighters will be down there doing autographs and so forth. But there's other clothing companies. It's kind of like introducing everybody to all your favorite fighters and favorite clothing companies, of course, Punishment Athletics. No, it's going to be just a good time for fans to come down and meet some of the fighters and some of the guys who they really look up to.
Now, I have two things here. I have Sunday at 2 o'clock, you're going to be signing autographs.
Yes.
And you're going to be taking on challengers for the Tito Foosball Challenge.
Actually, there'll be winners for it to have a foosball chance against me. I'm actually a really good foosball player.
Are you really?
Yeah, I am.
What? Well, you don't hear that every
before
day.
Before I was a fighter, actually, I used to work at a bar. I was one of the securities there, and I used to play foosball and pool. Man, that's something that I'm really, really good at. And that's kind of like my hidden talent.
Okay, all right. Back up here, Tito.
That's awesome.
How good a foosball player can you be?
I'm pretty damn good. I don't know. I might have been a world champion at that if I had tried as hard as I did with fighting, right?
Is there a world championship of foosball?
I don't know. Can you look that up and find that out?
I'm not sure. He can look it up. So you're going to be taking on challengers.
Yes.
That's nutty.
That's fun.
It's not something you see every day.
Nope.
It's better than that than them trying to spar with me or something, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's
better for them.
Yeah, right.
What's the, I mean, obviously hand-eye coordination would be important.
Yes.
What's the secret to being a great foosball champion?
Exactly as you say, head and eye coordination. Watch the ball. Don't ever take your eye off the ball.
It is, by the way, it is the world, let me see, hang on, I got it right here.
The
World Table Soccer Championship is what it is.
Table soccer?
That's what it's called?
That's what they call it, yeah.
How about that?
I'm on foosball.com. It looks like it's been, this is unbelievable. It goes back decades.
Oh, wow. God. Yeah, it's fun. It's just one of those little pool hall things you play. I mean, we had time where there was not many people in the bar, and me and a couple of my buddies.
That's
funny. Hilarious.
That was when I was in college, you know. That was back in the day.
Sure.
That was before I knew I was going to be a fighter.
Have you ever thought of training for the foosball championship and going in that direction?
If I had time, I would, but I'm such a busy man. I have so much business stuff doing right now, you know. I think it's just going to be fun this next few years, so.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, obviously MMA, we were talking to somebody, I think it was Forrest Griffin last week was in, we were talking about how no one could have predicted CBS, the old people television network, would have an MMA show on every week now, or every other week or whatever it is for that their Saturday night show. It's gotten so big, and it's not all UFC anymore, and that's what's interesting about the explosion is the UFC, of course, is an important facet of it, but there's all this other MMA stuff coming out of everywhere right now.
Of course. I mean, there's people who have a lot of money, and they want to make a lot of money, and with this sport the way it is, you know, we're taking over boxing. We already took over WWE. I mean, we're just monsterizing people who try to get in the sport of mixed martial arts, and you know, we're the number one draw for people to watch. So it's just kind of like it was meant to happen for some reason, and I'm right at the top, so it's cool.
Speaking of which, your next fight, do you have one?
Nothing set yet. I'm going through negotiations. Last time I heard, you know, Dana White didn't want to be in the Tito Ortiz business, but he's licking my... Can you say balls on here?
probably not, but okay.
But, you know, and begging me to come back right now. You know, they call nonstop. I don't even deal with Dana at all anymore. They call so much, I pretty much had to change my number. And they talk to strict to my attorney now. And they want to be in the Tito Ortiz business a little more. So for the things that they've said about me, and, you know, it's saying that I had never was a real champion and I was a paper champ. I mean, come on, peoples. I mean,
didn't you defend your title like five times?
Exactly.
Though, or
more than any light heavyweight has ever done. And I think the closest one to me is two times, and I think that might have been Couture and Liddell. So
would you fight Tito in the UFC again?
You know, what it really comes down to is just respect. You know, I think I deserve a lot of respect, and they don't give me the respect I deserve. I mean, I've been in this
business.
How
many zeros are in respect?
I don't know.
Because it sounds like that's what you're talking about when you say respect.
Anymore. To me, it's not about the money. You know, I'm a great athlete. You know, I work really, really hard for what I expect when I get in the octagon, and I just got to be respected as a businessman and as a fighter, of course. You know, and they try to take advantage of a lot of fighters, and I've been pretty much demoralized by Mr. White, the president, of everything that I've ever done, just because I spoke out of saying, you know, you guys are making millions upon millions upon millions, and, you know, we're making a couple hundred thousand. I mean, like, what the heck? I mean,
but boxing was paying huge paydays for a long time.
They still paid huge paydays.
But then you came along, and they were paying you guys almost nothing for quite a while, right?
For a long time, and it's kind of funny because, I mean, I can remember back in the day when we were getting maybe 160,000, and I stepped up, and I spoke out a little bit, then all of a sudden Couture and Liddell and myself, you know, we're making almost a million, and they sit there and cried about it. It's like, come on, guys, I'm trying to make more money for every fighter, and I'm going to make a difference. If I sign a new contract with the UFC, I'm going to do something no one's ever done in the sport, and I'm pretty much going to do exactly what Muhammad Ali did with boxing. I'm going to separate, you know, us as pro athletes and not just fighters, how they used to, you know, use the stigmatism of what fighters were, you know, stupid just, guys. You know, we're businessmen.
Right.
I mean, I got a an AA degree in physical education, of course, went to college, and I understand the business side of it. So it's just one of those things that, you know, why I'm going to play the stupid fighter if I could step up and, you know, really fight for what I believe in. People say, oh, you shouldn't worry about money. You should be worrying about just fighting. Well, I got to make sure I pay my bills. I mean, I have a family, and, you know, I have a goal in life of what I want to achieve, and that's just what it comes down to. And, you know, Dana White just sits there and badmouths me all the time saying I'm a stupid guy and da-da-da. It's just kind of like a bully tactic of him just talking smack about someone who knows what's really going on.
Tito, I don't mean this in a negative way at all, but you'll forgive me for suggesting that some people think that the reason he continues to badmouth you and you say the things you say is because inevitably you guys both know you're going to get together, and it kind of just ratchets up the hype a little bit for the return.
Well, if
is that the case?
If we do get back together and I sign a new contract, believe me, I'm fine with it. I'll be very, very fine with it. I'll do something, like I say, that no other fighters even came close to do. It's it'll be some great news for all fighters, and I really think it comes down to if I'm making a standpoint of knowing I won, you know?
Do you think that's going to happen? If you had to guess now what the future's going to hold?
I gave my contract, my negotiation, and they didn't blink at it, so I don't know. We'll see what happens. Hmm. You know, we'll see how much the Tito Ortiz business is worth to them, I think, and and how much respect they're going to give me out of it. And that's what it's all about, man. It's all about respect. I want to look forward of, you know, a company not talking smack about me. And all these other new companies are coming about, you know, Affliction.
Right.
Mr. Trump's a really good friend of mine, and he's like, Tito, we got to have you fighting on our show no matter what. And, it, you know, I would love to because he respects me. He respects me as a man.
But he fired you as well.
But he didn't want to. He gave me $50,000 from St. Jude's Charity Hospital. I mean, it was really cool for him to do that. But I did get fired. First time I've ever been fired at any job.
And it was on TV for everyone to see.
It was on TV for everyone to see. I've never been fired ever. And that was hard. I think I cried a little bit after, but it was okay.
You're missing out on not getting fired.
Yeah.
Tito, do you do a show like Celebrity Apprentice just to extend the brand name? Or is there something? Is it the competitiveness in you that makes you say yes to that?
What made me say yes to that one was actually for St. Jude's Children's Hospital. It was for my charity. I had a chance to win.
I had a chance to win
$250,000 for my charity, and I was really excited because there's so many kids that are in dire need of help, and St. Jude's supplies that for them. And I had a chance to win $250,000. I walked away with $70,000 for them, which was really nice. And then another company, it's called One Stop. It's an international company, and they donated $100,000 in my name for St. Jude's, and they're like, you did an awesome job. We want to donate. So this is really great. I mean,
that's very cool.
It's a huge opportunity that I got to do.
How much, Tito, would I have to put up right now for you to walk down the hall here at K-Rock and beat Kevin in foosball? Because I'll pay it.
You got a foosball table here?
We do, actually.
I got a foosball table, yeah.
Wow. We have that, and we have an air hockey table here, and we have some video games.
I'm good at foosball. I don't know. We'll do it for 100 push-ups.
100 push-ups. I hope you got a year waiting for me. Yeah. Yeah, well, if you'll take the time.
The day, your tits may hurt a little bit, but hey.
If you'll take the time to walk down the hall and beat Kevin right now, I'll donate $100 to St. Jude's.
What's
how about
wrong
that?
With you?
Well, is it awesome. A deal?
Yeah, that's
is it a deal?
For sure.
All right, let's do it.
I'm not good in foosball.
Kevin, I want you to go down there. I want you to play the champ, man.
All right.
Cool. Tito,
thank you so much. $100.
I'm happy to do it.
That's awesome.
Now, what are you up at a little there, Bean? $100.
International MMA Expo is happening this weekend, Friday through Sunday, at the Long Beach Convention Center. Go to immmae.tv or TitoOrtiz.com for details about that. And again, Tito's appearance for autographs is going to be Sunday at 2 o'clock, and you'll be playing foosball. And we'll have an idea of how good he is in a minute once you guys get down there to play the game.
Awesome.
All right, Tito, we'll get an update from you in a couple minutes before you leave the building. But thanks for stopping by the Kevin DeBean Show.
Oh, without a doubt. Thank you.
Tito Ortiz is playing our own Kevin right now at the K-Rock foosball table. Let's go to the correspondent King of Mexico on the phone to get an update. Good morning, King.
We just lost him right as you were saying, let's go to.
Oh. That's the way we roll here?
I don't know what I went to reach for the phone and he hung
up. I'm too tired to stay on the line. I'm gonna take a nap.
The only word I heard is that Tito went up fast, like in 2 seconds. He scored the first.
It was
1-0
in like 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah,
Kevin's back!
You're back already?
That can't be a good sign.
How is the game over?
And they were playing to 21, which is the weird part.
Kevin, what?
What transpired there, Sparky?
I kicked his ass.
Uh huh. What was the final?
What was
score?
The final score?
Well, 2-5.
2-5. You got two.
So he had five, and you had two.
Yeah. And one of my two, he scored on himself. But other than that,
I rocked it.
Who plays to five, by the way? Is it a standard game to like 11 or something?
I don't know, dude. I don't play foosball regularly.
Okay.
He was going way easy on me, and I just was pathetic.
Yeah.
He owed you.
I did not represent us well.
Oh, well. Oh, you didn't have
Gallagher?
Much.
He wants to play me in Gallagher? All over him.
You should play him in Gallagher.
Air hockey?
Like hitting watermelons with sledgehammers.
No, that was a game.
Oh, yeah. It's a brand new game. Right. Everybody loves it.
Yeah, he's pretty good at that, it turns out.
All right, so he won. Anyway, meet him at the Long Beach Convention Center this weekend. It's 8:55 Thursday morning. Brendan Fraser next half hour on the Kevin DeBean Show talking about the Mummy movie. Right now, Ralph's got the show this week.
You know, they say pancreatic cancer is one of the worst types of cancer you can get. It has an enormously high death rate.
Yeah.
Okay.
And inexplicably, yet great news, Patrick Swayze seems to be recovering very well.
Really?
Can you get over it? I mean, can you
beat it?
People do, but it's rare. It doesn't happen too often. Pancreatic cancer is usually almost always terminal. But he is recovered guns blazing. He is filming a new TV show called The Beast in Chicago currently, and they say he's put back on about 20 pounds in the past 2 weeks.
Wow. That's great
news. He's doing well. The treatment he's responding terrifically to treatment, and he's feeling great. So,
but this is Patrick Swayze we're talking about. How do we know he's not a ghost again?
See what you did.
Don't do that again.
See what you did? Don't do that again, I think is what we're saying right there.
And boom goes the dynamite.
So that's great news that he's doing well. I mean, he's not out of the woods yet, but the fact that he's putting on weight and seems to be feeling good is already a victory.
That is pretty amazing.
That's great. Sienna Miller may have lost her new boyfriend. San Francisco Post-Chronicle says that Balthazar Getty flew to Los Angeles on Tuesday night to try to reconcile with his wife of 8 years, Rosetta.
What, was he missing his four kids or something?
Maybe.
Huh.
They say now he's desperate to save his marriage,
which
may not be an easy job considering the fact that they do have four children together. But Rosetta is said to be a little peeved.
Humiliated?
That there have been dozens of photographs of Balthazar Getty romping, often in the nude, with Sienna Miller. That's hard to bounce back from.
Yeah.
Forgetting an anniversary. You know, maybe fighting over who empties the dishwasher this time around.
Sure.
Those are the kind of things sometimes you can surmount. Banging Sienna Miller and romping with her nude on yachts and on hotel balconies in Italy? Harder to come back from is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I would guess so.
Maybe Sienna was on his list of the top five celebrities he could do.
So he should get a gimme, a mulligan?
You get a pass. Don't you get a pass if it's one of them?
She's on the list.
If she's on the list. Yeah.
I mean, if you came home today, Ralph, and said, I don't know how it happened, honey, but I banged Charlize, your wife would have to say, dude, I can't blame you, right?
My wife would have to say, you couldn't pick up a phone? Invite me over? What's wrong with you? I think you love Charlize more than I do. Panic at the Disco and Dashboard Confessional are bringing the Rock Band video game on tour with them.
Not to Russia, I hope.
On tour.
They are co-headlining a tour that kicks off in October in San Diego and wraps up in Houston, Texas on November the 14th. But part of the show will be fans being invited to play Rock Band up on stage.
Emo, get him!
That does not sound fun to watch.
That sounds confusing and frustrating at best.
Huh.
I wonder if it's possible. Can you play along with a live band on Rock Band? I mean, could they wire it such as that when they play the songs, you get to play along, but on Rock Band, and see how you do?
Oh, maybe they could do a special version for that.
That'd be kind of cool. Yeah, that was the case. Other than just like them playing video game off in the corner while you're trying to perform.
Beep, beep, bong, beep,
hey,
bong.
I'm playing a song out here. Could you pay attention a little bit? Apparently, the opening acts would be Plain White Tees and The Cab will be opening up for Panic and Dashboard. So, interesting. A new angle to a band that no one really wants to see. This saddens me.
What?
The only good thing about country music is sometimes the smoking hot women.
Yeah, a lot of hotties who sing that brand. Yeah,
I think if you have to look at all over good looks for a genre of music, country music does win in one category, and that is hot chicks who perform it.
I'd say so.
Are you familiar with this Taylor Swift?
Oh!
Well, yeah, she's just 18 right now, right?
Yeah,
just turned 18. Country Western singer, is from Philadelphia originally. So she's got a lot going for her.
She's a real deal, too. She sings, writes, plays. I mean, she does it all. She's not just a, you know, Pop-Tart that they're propping up with somebody else's work. She's really talented.
You know who's dipping their wick over there? You know who's getting some of that?
No, I don't.
Lou Gossett Jr., yes.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. Where did that guess come from?
You wanted a guess.
No, it's worse. I'd be okay with Lou Gossett Jr.
Really?
Uh-oh.
Compared to Joe Jonas of the Jonas Brothers.
Are you kidding me?
Is he the girl? I wish I was. Oh, they're all the girl.
Oh, that's right.
That's the problem.
Wow.
I think he's the girl with the horrible monobrow. One of them's got giant eyebrows. Looks like Groucho Marx.
And one of them was dating Miley Cyrus until recently as well, right?
Yeah.
So they're in with all the teen stars, I guess.
Yeah, but that's not right.
No.
There is a new way to get a facial.
Oh, come on.
What the?
Jiminy. I drink your milkshake.
You say so. And yes, Victoria, there will be a Spider-Man 4 or Virginia or whatever, however that story goes.
Do you think it's going well?
No.
Sony has just announced that they are doing a Spider-Man 4, I guess in the light of The Dark Knight. If you have a comic book franchise, you're putting it back out again. You're trying to cash in on this wave, right?
I would think so.
They've announced there will be a Spider-Man 4. No word yet on who will play the web crawler, web spinner, wall crawler, wall spinning, web crawler, that dude in the suit.
Right.
But I'm guessing they will start negotiations with Tobey Maguire, try to get him back.
They talked about, when he didn't want to do 3 or whatever, that they might replace him with his identical twin Jake Gyllenhaal, right?
Yeah. I suppose that's a possibility. It won't come out until 2011.
But well, then why are they talking about it now?
Because they're announcing it, try to get some excitement going, you know? But to fill the gap. Okay.
I'm not familiar with the universe of Spider-Man villains, but they've already burned through several of them in the first 3 movies. What's left for Spidey to fight?
Oh, lots of good ones. Electro, we haven't seen Electro yet.
Oh, Electro.
What's he or she do?
He controls electricity, as you can imagine. We haven't seen Mysterio, Mind Master Mysterio. We haven't seen the Rhino. Rhino's great.
What's the Rhino?
Rhino's a dude who can just run
charge
knock
at you?
Things over.
Yeah.
Wow. He's another good one. Haven't seen
Doesn't
him.
Sound like a good one.
That's awesome. He wears an actual Rhino suit with a big horn on the front.
Sounds stupid.
It's the best.
Rhino.
So there's a lot. We haven't seen the Lizard. Lizard rules.
He licks you? What does a lizard do?
He's a giant lizard.
Right.
In a lab coat. You don't want to run into that.
So what does he do, though? What can a lizard do?
He bites you.
He can lizards run upside down on a wall.
He can knock you with his enormously strong prehensile tail. He can knock you over with that.
Those don't sound good.
You don't know. They're all good.
Those are bad.
Shut up.
Those are bad villains. Those are not good villains.
Speaking of villains, to fill the gap between now and 2011 when Spidey 4 hits theaters, they're going to do a spin-off movie featuring the character Venom from Spider-Man 3.
That was the Topher Grace character.
That was Bad Spider-Man. That was the Black Spider-Man.
The creeping black ooze.
That was the ooze that made Spider-Man emo. And then when Spidey got rid of the ooze, it landed on Topher Grace, and he became Bad Spidey Venom guy.
So they're going to do a movie with the bad guy, but not with Spider-Man?
Right.
Well, who's going to fight him then?
I don't know. Go figure. But look, with the success they had with Catwoman, when they spun her off from the Batman franchise and Halle Berry played Catwoman, they have to do it because... Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
That was such a success.
That didn't do so
well. What about Electro? What about the smash hit Electro that they spun off from Daredevil? That was a big... That wasn't good either.
Yeah. So, there's your Spidey update.
All right.
For all my comic book bros out there. Get a lot of love, by the way. People sending me gifts and whatnot from Comic-Con, and I appreciate
that. Right?
I want to thank everyone who was down there and thought of me. It's very kind of you. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Wesley Snipes. He was in a comic book movie, Kevin. You remember that? Remember the name of his comic book movie?
No.
Blade. He was the vampire hunter, Blade.
Forgot that.
He's 46 years old today. Fat Boy Slim. He was a superhero in the comic
book. Fat.
He could get really fat and they get really slim. Remember that? That was his superpower. He's 45. Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling. Her superpower? Making money.
Yeah.
Just counting cash. She's 43 years old today. Actor Dean Cain of Lois and Clark is 42. And B.J. Novak from The Office. Oh, stop it. Turns 29 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
If we ever get so desperate that we have to go to Sean in Monrovia, seriously, just pull the plug on the whole radio show.
I was just thinking that. Let's not go to line
Let's
6
maybe
around to my mind.
Not take that one.
Yeah.
1-800-520-1067. If you're not Sean, give us a call right now. Get on the air. Get a prize today. It's a 4-pack of tickets to check out the X Games that start, in a couple of hours. Going on all the way through Sunday at Staples Center and Home Depot Center. Who's first today?
Sean in Monrovia.
Oh, good morning. Come on, Kevin. What are you doing?
You forced my hand the way you guys are talking about it.
We do not want to discuss this.
All right, let's go to MJ in Los Angeles.
MJ.
Hey, MJ.
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, MJ?
What's going on?
So I used to work at this recording studio, and Chris Angel was a friend of the owner of the studio. So he had him come in to actually record his band. His band wasn't there. It was just him to be in a
Whose band? Studio. Chris Angel's band?
He has a band. Like, called Suck Ass. I don't know. Sorry.
Probably is.
Angel is a big douchebag. The douchiest of all.
Exactly.
Okay.
He had a panic attack. And he couldn't sing in a sound booth and had to go outside and was hyperventilating and, like, pacing. Came back and it was just me, the sound engineer, and, like, the guy that owns the studio.
Do you have a copy of this?
No, unfortunately, I don't.
I did notice in the credits of the special last night that he claims to have written the theme music or whatever.
I think that is his band. How he got that, managed to get that on tape, I don't know, because if he couldn't sing in front of three people, then I don't know. The guy is a douche.
Does he sing like this?
Yeah! That's exactly what it sounds like.
That's all the vocals.
I'm not surprised. Thank you for the call. By the way, I didn't catch this in the tape we were just playing from the special last night, but Ernie writes in, hey, Kevin and Bean, did you notice that while Chris was trying to escape, the announcer said, this is not rehearsed. Then after the building went down, he said, he made it every time during rehearsal.
What a surprise.
That's a good point.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that.
What a huge surprise. Let's go to Evelyn in Glendale. Good morning, Evelyn.
Glendale.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
What's up?
Hi.
So
So you guys are probably all going to kill me for this one, but what's with every guy wanting to see stoner movies all the time?
They're the best.
Stoner movies are funny.
Like what?
Like, you know, Harold and Kumar.
Funny.
You know, and this is the big one, Pineapple Express.
Looks awesome.
Weekend.
Funny.
Looks it's very
so funny. Immature humor. That's
yeah,
what guys love.
I work at a movie theater, and you should see Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights, a bunch of stoner guys. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Stoned people are funny.
Stoned people are funny. Stoner movies are funny. Why are you bad, Evelyn?
I don't know. I mean, I'm
you need to get high and watch that movie.
It's not necessarily the best view of the male species.
Yeah.
How dare you?
There's no good view of the male species, by the way. We've all accepted Evelyn? That. Let's just laugh.
Evelyn, did you have any problem with the busloads of empty whores that showed up for Sex in the City?
Sex in the City is totally different.
Okay,
that's
all we
need to know. Totally different. Wow, I didn't realize that was good.
All right, then. Oh, vaginas are good. Penises are bad.
Oh, I think we understand.
I think we all know that's true.
All right, you're bad.
Thank
Hold
you
on.
For the call. Let's try, speaking of chicks, let's talk to Jose in Burbank. He's on line 4. Kevin Beans, what to do, nephew, on the World Famous K-Rock. Hi, Jose, what to do?
What to do, nephew?
What's going on?
What to do, baby boo?
Hi.
What's going on?
We're at the mall, me and my daughter, she's 6 years old. We saw Pamela Anderson, and I was calling her name to get her autograph. She didn't want to give it to me, I guess.
Pamela Anderson?
Yes. So, my daughter started yelling her name, Pamela, Pamela, and she walked over to us and gave her her autograph. Mm-hmm. When she leaned over to her, her blouse was loose, and we saw a boob shot.
Yeah.
How can you nice not months. See a boob shot with her?
That's the only view available.
Did you point it out to your daughter? Did you point it out? Say, honey, look, there's a Pamela Anderson's boob.
No.
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 Oh, okay. All
right. How does it feel to be the 6 billionth person on Earth to see her nipple? You must be so proud right now.
But there's never a bad. I mean, it's not ever bad, right?
No.
Live.
You can do it 6 billion in 1. That's good.
Pam was on Letterman last night.
Yeah.
And boy, she looked geeked out of her mind. She was like constantly playing with her hair and like jittery yes. and jumping around and couldn't stay focused. She seemed like Farrah Fawcett whacked out there on something.
Uh-oh.
Her, you guys may yell at me for saying this, but the last couple of interviews I've seen her in, her face is starting to look a little hardened, too.
Oh,
a little roughed up.
Bam Anderson?
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how to respond
never
to that.
Got to her face.
All right, let's talk to Jim in Costa Mesa, because this may be the most unbelievable call we're going to get all month.
Jim, hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi.
Lisa May.
Hello.
Baby, ding, ding.
What's happening?
I need a couple dings for this, and I hate earthquakes, but the only reason I like them is because my babe, Kate Hutton, from California Institute of Technology in Pasadena, comes on the TV, and she is smoking hot.
She said she. It's a dude.
Yeah. You
what
think,
are you talking
you think
about?
He's hot.
The white-haired gentleman that looks like Anderson Cooper that works at Caltech. That's
no,
who you're talking about.
No, you can see boobs coming through her sweatshirt.
No. What?
Oh, are you effing kidding me with this?
She is hot. She's got a website.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah, she does. Kate Hutton from Cal State Pasadena is hot.com.
Yeah, Cal State Pasadena.
That's what it is.
You're falling over your own material here, Jim.
That's a good website. We should all check it out. Spell that out for us, would you?
She's an inspiration.
All right. He's
I know
good.
You're trying hard to make a joke, but it's not working, dude.
The inspiration for Samuel Jackson's haircut.
Dude, he's got a chunk.
Quit.
He's got a Kate Hutton chunk.
Kate Hutton chunk.
Just please stop. Don't ever call us again. All right. Shall we end it there?
Seriously, we can end it there. But on a side note, speaking of unexpectedly hot people, have you seen the photos of British actress Helen Mirren in a bikini at the beach?
Yes, I have.
No.
62 years old? I have.
62
yes.
years old. Her body is...
Current?
But yes.
Yeah.
Current
yes.
pictures? It's
yes.
incredible.
She's always
great.
Had a great body.
No. I'm telling you, if you saw her
I'm
in a bikini,
you no.
you'd be like, damn... I know 30-year-olds who wish they had that body.
But then you. But she's Helen Mirren. She's that old
she's
actress.
She's an attractive woman, by the way. She's always
she's
been attractive.
She's this old actress, You're Helen Mirren, that played the queen.
Yes.
Hello.
That
was
in makeup. Makeup and a wig. You take that off, put her in a bikini. Bam.
I'm not putting her
she's
in a bikini.
She's a pretty attractive lady.
She is. I mean, it's obviously the body of an older woman, but Ralph is right. She's very, very fit.
Okay. Yeah, you saw her
what do you
be
want
like,
for me?
Damn, that body is a good body.
All right, for her age.
No, for
compared
for
to
like
other
a
people her
old.
Age.
For like a
I would like to have that body.
You do have that
you
body.
You do have that body, though. I want to thank our special guest, Brendan Fraser, for joining us today. His film is called The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. It opens up everywhere tomorrow. Ricky Carmichael is going to be participating in X Games 14. Thanks to him for coming on. What?
Nothing.
In the butt.
Okay. And thanks to Tito Ortiz, who will not be at the X Games because he's going to be at the International MMA Expo going on at the Long Beach Convention Center this weekend. Get details at immae.tv or TitoOrtiz.com.
Come on.
There. Come on. Look at that body. That's damn good.
But for her age.
No. How many 60-year-olds look like that?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
How many 40-year-olds
look like that?
How many 40-year-olds look like that?
Come on.
She's got abs. She's rocking giant cans.
Okay. Listen.
Legs look firm. Come on.
All right. Good for you.
Boozy!
Not me.
How about?
I'm not in the bikini. She is.
Good for you, dude. Whatever floats your boat.
Please.
Tomorrow, on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we got the Movie Beat. So Ralph will tell you about the new movies in the theater.
Mm-hmm. We don't talk about anyone over 40, though, Ralph.
I won't.
We have BMX champion Kevin Robinson on the program tomorrow.
And here's to you, Kevin Robinson.
Yeah, that's not the song.
Oh.
Have you seen the Olympic pandas?
Hey.
Those are the dumbest looking things I've ever seen.
Are they all pandas? I thought like one was a panda. The other one just looked like those goddamn weird Japanese creatures they like to worship.
I think they're all pandas.
Really?
I think they're all silly looking Hello Kitty.
Maybe one of them's a Pokemon or something.
Yeah, I don't know what they are. They look like just all freaky little creatures.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Also, the Armenian comedian, we have to talk to him about his threats lately.
He threatened to go on a killing spree, didn't he?
If we didn't do something,
all of our shows, Nutloaf, are starting to get violent.
They're all going crazy at the same time.
We may have to put out a casting call for some gentler Nutloafs.
we're getting scared of our Nutloafs.
The gentle Nutloafs, by the way.
Play a Lollapalooza, Kevin. You're going to see them Saturday.
Very excited about them, the best. And there's some dude that wants Bean to be a keynote speaker at some kind of Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald conference or something. We got to talk to him because that just seems like the worst plan ever.
Tell me where to be. I'll be there. That sounds great.
We'll talk to him.
All of that tomorrow morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Stryker is not up next, apparently. Now Jed the Fish is filling in for Tammy or whoever usually does that show with 40 Minutes Nonstop, K-Rock, Green Day, Finger 11, Blink 182, Foo Fighters, Guns N' Roses, and more. Straight ahead right here on K-Rock.